Hi, the Common Man and Timmy podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. Did you know that the people at Care listen to this dumb show every single day just like you? I don't know if the techs do, but like the people in the office do. I think the techs actually have taste. Anyway, they're fans just like you. Support them the way they support us. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
T1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State earned the 2 seed in the college football playoff and will face either Miami or Texas A&M in the Cotton Bowl December 31st at 7:30. Catch Buckeye Roundtable tonight on The Fan at 6. NHL, the Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority is advancing a funding plan for the $400 million renovation of Nationwide Arena. Renovations include a redesigned entrance, outdoor terrace, updated restrooms and concessions, expanded team shop, and new heating and cooling systems. NFL, Browns rookie Shedeur Sanders will remain the starting quarterback the rest of the season. He passed for 364 yards in Sunday's loss to the Titans. College hoops, Ohio State women's basketball moved to 21st in the AP poll after Sunday's win at Northwestern. Buckeyes, one of 9 ranked Big Ten teams, tying a poll record. This update sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP. That's 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or online at sleepbettercolumbus.com.
The following is intended for immature audiences only.
There's no such thing as a radio rating system.
But if there were, this show would be rated O as in...
Oh my God, this show is so stupid. These people should be in jail. Let's begin.
Good afternoon.
You're listening to Common Man and Timmy.
Yeah!
Featuring Panama Ted.
Ted's a fun guy.
And the crazy soundboard.
Hola.
I'm Dennis Farina.
So much.
I even made just a little bit of a diagram for you.
56 and, is that correct? Walk.
You weasel.
Turn off your brain and unzip your pants. Here's Common Man and Timmy.
Happy Monday. Welcome in. Hello, good, clean boy.
Hello, man. It's the first time in a long time we're talking about a loss here today.
Well, got a big program today. Of course, we're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about the playoffs, all of that. And then we'll try and sprinkle in some nonsense because we all need to stay sane. How you doing, Teddy?
Doing good, Mike.
How you doing, Tress?
Doing good, Mike.
All right.
Everyone's here.
Foodgasm at 4:46. So... how's your weekend, homie? Good?
Well, I mean, it was one hell of a sports weekend.
It was a weekend.
I mean, the Buckeye basketball team got it done at Northwestern.
I didn't think that was going to be the highlight of the sports weekend, but it was.
Your Bears didn't get it done. Commanders, they're
didn't
just dropping like
up.
Flies.
Didn't even show up.
Zach Ertz just blew his leg into oblivion. God love him. Hope he's going
to
be okay.
Can't win in Washington to save their lives.
They can't score. Do they ever plan on beating the Capitals?
No.
Ever?
No.
They're in the same division. You have to learn how to play them.
Tough matchup. That's what I'm told.
Like down 12-2 on them on the season.
All right, Buckeyes lose to Indiana in the Big Ten Championship. I have seen, excuse me, overreactions on both sides. And I would like to point out right now that the only reaction that you should be concerned with is ours. Because we're right.
And everyone else
is wrong.
Is wrong.
You know what is wrong, though? And look, I understand that it's just a natural reaction sometimes to minimize something. Right? When you go into a bar and you hit on a pretty girl and you're rebuffed. Mm. And then you walk back to your buddy and say, ah, she was ugly anyway. I didn't care about her. Like, well, but you did. That's why you went over there. We've been talking all season long about how beating Michigan, very important, obviously, non-negotiable. You did that. And then going and winning a Big Ten championship was a very important part of this season. And now that it hasn't happened, let's not move the goalposts and pretend like we weren't interested in that at all, because we were, and I'm not going to run from that. Now, that doesn't mean the season's over, doesn't mean the season's a disappointment, but let's not run from the reality of the situation. We all wanted to win that game, go undefeated, and win the Big Ten, did we not?
Right, right.
So let's be upset that that didn't happen.
Yeah, we have a few weeks now to get ready for the winner of Texas A&M and Miami. And hoping to God that because this game happened, the same way it was because the Michigan game happened last year, I am a believer that that needed to happen to that team for them to ultimately go on the run the way they went on the run.
I am too.
It did nothing for how we felt about that game plan
Let's not just automatically say, oh, well, last year's this year. Ryan Day's been preaching it all year. You don't have to lose a game to learn a lesson.
Right.
He's the one, by the way, he talked to Dom yesterday at the Woody, and we're going to play some snippets of the interview coming up later. But Ryan Day's the first one to say when Dom's like, hey, 13-10 last year, 13-10 this year. It's sort of a wake-up call. Ryan Day doesn't want to hear wake-up call. All he wants to go and look is at a film. What? Go and look at film of a game that he knows he should have won. What happened last year is irrelevant. How do you judge this team this year? We'll find out.
Yeah, and you know what? They're the number two team in the country still. Now, there was some debate over whether Georgia was going to switch them. It doesn't really matter. As long as Ohio State's on the bottom of that bracket and Indiana's on the top of that bracket, there's a chance for these two teams to meet up again. They were the only two 12-0 teams in a major conference all season. And you and I both, with plenty of other people around here, felt really positive about the Buckeyes going into that one.
It took me by surprise.
I don't think it's a we learned our lesson type of thing. Part of me just feels like this is life. This is football. It is really, really hard to go undefeated. I mean, there's that thing for you, right?
Of course.
Where it was going to be a ridiculous task to go 16-0 undefeated to win this now version of the college football playoff, where you have to mow down three different types of juggernauts on your way to winning this. It was four last year for Ohio State. This year, since they did some extra work ahead of time, played in the 13th game, it only has to be three more games now.
But if you are convincing yourself out there that you feel better about this team now because they've lost, then I don't know what to tell you. Then you and I just don't see eye to eye, or you watch a different football game on Saturday. And we'll talk about the specifics of the game and how we got here. Again, I'm excited for the possibility of going to the playoffs and winning again.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is still there. Back-to-back national championships. It's never been done in the history of the school. And if that happens, we'll all be clicking our heels and say, hey, remember that 13-10 again? We can't get there quite yet, can we?
I want to throw this point out here, too. Because I don't feel this at all. And a lot of people have been going with the bullet point of since Ohio State so easily got in and since some other things have happened surrounding conference championship games that they really just don't matter. I don't feel that way at all after that game.
I don't either.
I felt.
And I won't.
I won't either. I felt locked in. I mean, all you guys out there listening and watching us on YouTube, did you really feel in that moment when you were failing drive after drive against Indiana that, oh, this is cool. This is fine. You're not Kurt Cignetti in some of his comments. You remember we listened to that. I had a clip of that in the final walkthrough. He said, even as a coach, he could tell by reviewing Ohio State's film, the pace of play that they had all year, they're probably holding a little bit back. Well, newsflash, we can't hold back anymore. It is once the Michigan game hits, once it's the Indiana game, you're playing the number two team in the country for a trophy, for a celebration on a stage. You do everything in your power to win that game. And it just felt that there were some things missing.
When the numbers come out, it'll probably be the highest rated college football game of the season. If it's not, it's second only to the Michigan game.
Right.
So we didn't all tune in to a glorified exhibition.
It did not feel that way.
If it doesn't matter.
It felt big.
Let's not move the goalposts. All right. It was a big game and the Buckeyes didn't come through. And there are lots of reasons why. You know, a lot of times you can just sit down and say, well, you know, they were the better team and they just beat themselves. You know, costly turnovers and mistakes here and there. And that really wasn't the case.
They both had a pick early. It was early in the game.
It really wasn't the case here. I mean, I think it all starts and ends with you getting whooped at the line of scrimmage. And really, when you look at the offensive numbers, no, they're not gaudy. And Indiana just scored 13 points. I get that. But they had a much easier time running the football. They had a much easier time on first down, picking up nice chunks of yards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then you get into a second and four, and all of a sudden, your playbook is much bigger than it was.
They didn't have, and Brian Hartline will hit on that at some point today, will become a major topic as we go along the next few weeks. But play calling rhythm, you're right. It seemed like they just had no play calling rhythm, and that's not even, we'll need more time to get into
news. We've got 3 hours.
The couple of drives that we're referring
to. I want you to sit with this for a second, though. Think about this, because I was thinking about this as soon as the game ended. It's one of those situations where I can't fall asleep, and then when I do, I dream about the game. And I don't like that feeling.
We don't want to be dreaming about
it. I haven't had that for a while. You know, actually, last Michigan game was the last time I had that, last year. But that game reminded me a lot of when Virginia Tech came in here. And the Buckeyes could not adapt to the two-deep zone that the Hokies were playing.
And that zero front
was the big thing. The entire game, they continued to bash their head up a brick wall and say, we're going to throw the ball deep. That's what we're going to do. Even though they're giving you every other defensive look.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, we're going to do what we do. And that's throw the ball deep. This game reminded me of that, where Indiana's sitting back in their zone, daring you to try and throw the ball deep. Because their safeties are like 50 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Their linebackers were even sinking back into coverage.
And, well, that's a different conversation. And they know they're going to get pressure with four.
Yeah.
Every single time. So even if your guys can get open down the field, Julian Sand's not going to have time to get the ball there because the pass protection sucks.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it just didn't hold up.
All right, think about that. I swear we'll have at least one chuckle or two today, but we're here to we had the gloat fest 1 week ago.
Right.
Now it's the we feel sorry for ourselves fest.
We got to do it. It's the first one of the season.
Common Man and Timmy on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
Got some slower traffic on eastbound 270 on the north outer belt between 315 and 71. And another delay due to that construction that's on westbound 70 on the west side near Hilliard to Rome Road. This report is sponsored by FranklinCrisisCare.org. Are you or someone you know feeling overwhelmed by mental health or addiction crisis? The Franklin County Crisis Care Center is now open 24/7 with care from certified peers and professionals. Learn more at FranklinCrisisCare.org. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. Can I tell you a secret? One of my joys in life is a good clean out. Once in a blue moon, I will take it to the next level. I have an air vent right over the toilet. So when I know a wild ride is coming, I'll turn down the AC a few minutes before it's go time. And then when I sit down, beautiful cold air greets me, blowing in my face as I do the deed. And the only people I trust to keep my crapper temp in tip-top shape, that's Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Have an unhealthy obsession with the Blue Jackets? We have just the remedy. Join us Wednesday nights at 7 for the Inside Edge. All the Jackets and hockey conversation you can handle. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At the Ohio Lottery.
Oh, hello! I was talking to my annoying friend, Duchess Kumquat. She was retelling a very dramatic story about how her and Lord Beaverqueef were stuck sleeping in a very hot room because their janky air conditioning unit took a crapola. They were so hot and sweaty, it took them out of the mood for getting hot and sweaty. Don't be like Kumquat and Beaverqueef. Call my friends at Care Heating and Cooling. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company Beaverqueef can trust.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine here for today with temperatures only into the upper 20s to around 30 here for this afternoon. And then for tomorrow, we're tracking more cloud cover across the area, but it will be a warmer day with highs back into the upper 30s. Rain and snow here for Tuesday night into Wednesday. Could see some minor accumulation and highs back into the lower 40s Wednesday. And as a look at your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus is the official sportsbook of Common Man and Timmy. Weekdays at 3 p.m. The Fan.
Panama Ted is being forced to produce this show against his will. You're listening to Common Man and Timmy.
Going to get right back to coverage of Indiana's 13-10 win over Ohio State in the Big Ten title game this weekend. But I want to tell you about my friends and Mike's friends at Tri-State Men's Health. You know, the holidays, they're meant to be filled with joy. But if you're dealing with that dreaded two-letter acronym, you know the one I'm talking about? ED.
The Buckeyes gave me ED on Saturday night.
Hopefully it wears off soon.
It still hasn't moved.
That's not good. You might need to head into the office then. That's erectile dysfunction. If you have that, that's no good. It can put a strain on even the strongest of relationships. But that's why our friends are here. Go check them out, tristatementshealth.com. They have two lovely locations right here in Central Ohio. You set up that first $99 visit, you get the TMPSA test. If medically advised, you get a dose in the office. If it doesn't work right then and there, your visit is free. They have experts popping out of the woodwork in those offices. And if you're like a lot of men, you could be doing it the day after your appointment. Success rate's over 90%. Some can even have you last for an hour or more.
Dear God!
Check them out, tristatementshealth.com.
Buckeyes lose to Indiana. Let's talk about the missed field goal there at the end of the game. Jaden Fielding him
too. How you like the special teams and just sort of what it's been, not just this year, but it feels
this has been
like
a recurring issue.
This has just been, it's not a spot on the football team. They obviously won a national championship last year, but it feels like special teams could be so much more. We finally had a kick return for a touchdown. We finally done some of these things, returned the punt for a touchdown against Indiana last year. But boy, I'm with you. You said it. Like, we need to find a kicker and throw the biggest sack of NIL cash in the world.
I just want to point out that if you see Fielding out and about on campus, you leave the man alone.
Goes without saying.
Okay?
Don't go at him on social media. We're just talking.
There's none
here.
Of that. All right?
We can talk about our team. Let's keep it at that.
And quite frankly, you make that kick, chances are you still lose that game. Because I had no faith in our defense at that point getting the ball back.
I don't like how they kicked the ball. I don't even like that.
I don't like anything about it.
It's a play-calling thing for me. You're not settling for a field goal when you have 1 yard to go.
Even in that position. You shouldn't be putting him in that position. Yes, of course, you want and you have to make those kicks when you're in that position. But that game was so much more than one missed kick. But I've never understood the hesitation with special teams and committing financially to special teams. I understand there's only a certain amount of money to go around. I get it. But you can make a case that if Mike Nugent were on this team, you don't lose to Michigan last year, right?
No, you don't lose that.
Because you're making those kicks earlier in the game, and that changes the way that you play. I mean, just forget about the 6 points that automatically goes back on the scoreboard. You make that kick the other night. Now, what happens later in that game, I don't know. You ever been to the MCL cafeteria?
No,
they
I haven't.
Those in Virginia.
No,
those,
tell me about
it. Are they still banging, Teddy? Remember the MCL?
I don't know if they are or not. We used to have them around here.
I've probably been to some with a different name. It's not like an old country buffet.
It is.
Okay, it's like an OCB.
All-you-can-eat sort of deal. Well, you walk in there, and the lighting is so harsh and bright, you could do surgery on the tables. It's just very brightly lit, real harsh cafeteria lighting. All right.
It's that fluorescent tube lighting turned up to the 10th degree.
I always thought of special teams kind of like a light bulb where you can do all the hard work you want to do, getting yourself in shape, buying the best clothes, doing your hair, all the sexy stuff. You walk into a club, the reason why you look pretty good is because the lighting's good. All right. You can take the hottest person in the world. You walk into a club, you're all dressed up. You look great, but then you walk in and it's MCL lighting in there? Dear God. I'm just saying, you did all the work.
It seems like you're talking about the lighting that we have in our bathrooms here.
That's right.
Because I had to change shirts on Friday because I was a little
overdressed. Well, you and I actually are ugly. But
my God, we're not that bad. Like, in this studio lighting, we have a little accents.
I mean,
we're seeing
Sydney Sweeney.
We're not triple-chinned yet.
In the perfect situations. I'm not saying she's not hot. She's hot. But if you put her under the MCL lighting, that's going to show all your blemishes. That, to me, is special teams. You have the best food, best atmosphere, look great. Those light bulbs are not right. It's making everything look too harsh. We need to fix the light bulb.
If we can throw it, we can run it pretty well. We got the best defense in the country. But if you can't make kicks that you need to make, and if your punting game isn't tip-top as well, when you really
You're
need
right.
to flip
I'm
the
not
field.
Just talking about the kicking game. I'm talking about the punting game too.
And I don't know. I can't really recall. I feel like Joe McGuire put the ball generally where it needed to go in this game. But if we talk about over the course of the season, when you really want to boom the ball, he doesn't really do that. Sometimes, you know, you do want to see that ball go 55, 65 yards, and you want to get something inside the 20. He had three inside the 20. Wasn't really an issue in this game. We're more talking about missing a 27-yard kick, which would have tied a game in the final 3 minutes. That's kind of a big thing.
It's a bigger problem than that. We need to fix special teams. We need to make that a priority.
When it was Urban Meyer's regime, you remember all the emphasis that was put on that.
Well,
a lot of it, I think,
was just artificial mumbo jumbo coach speak, where it's like, you got to earn your spot on special teams before you start playing. It's like, yeah,
it's true though.
All right, I don't think he's gonna have Jeremiah Smith out there running special teams.
That's not the same thing. That's not what that means. But you've got 4-star recruits, right, that are just simply not going to make their way onto the football field. They're not. But you have guys like Riley Pettijohn, who, when they do get some spot duty, you can see how good of football players these guys are. Aaron Scott, how good of football players these guys are and will be. They've got that. The first teamers, offense, defense, they're pretty much a set unit. There's a few guys rotationally that will come in, but special teams is where a lot of these younger players that will be stars, you should be dying to go out there. And I'm not saying that we haven't had some of those guys I mentioned. They have made some plays on kick coverage. It's not that there have not been plays made. It's just the overall emphasis on that side. You have got to be committed to being the best in all three phases. You don't want warts to show when you've got great
that
offense and great defense.
Showing the warts, Timmy.
You don't want that lighting coming straight in your face. You need that accent lighting from above. You need to look great.
You walk into Hyde Park and it's like a surgical room in there. You don't want to spend any money. It could be the best steak in the world.
Oh, man.
You know, you want to get the hell out of there. It's too bright. Things are too exposed.
Not Hyde Park. You meant to say the other place. Hyde Park is as dimly lit as any place in the world.
That's what I mean.
It's like eating in a cave
because
you never want to leave.
They have good special teams. Imagine the walking in there and you're like, oh my God, I need sunglasses in here.
I think our cafeteria was called the K&W in Raleigh. You ever seen the K&Ws?
I ain't seen it.
I think it's like that, what you're talking about.
Yeah, I got a hankering for some place. MCL.
And you know what? They ain't bad. Right?
I think I tore my MCL going to the MCL. Let's talk about the offensive line. I know that Indiana's defense is very good. This is not a fluky team made up of just a couple players like Colorado was a couple years back, where you had a couple really good players, and then the rest of the team was not very good, and they played enough games, and that showed their weakness. Indiana's not that team. They're a good team. Really good team, defensively. But our offensive line was whipped from the start of that game, and coming off of that Michigan game. And I know that Michigan's not as good as Indiana, but
it was surprising.
You're tough. You're shoving guys off the line of scrimmage. You're running the ball. You're protecting the quarterback. And none of that happened on Saturday. Nothing. Even Ryan Day after the game said, I don't know how to explain the fact that, yes, they were sitting in deep zone. And yes, their linebackers were taking away the middle of the field, also sitting in zone. But the opposite of that should be you're able to run the ball. Because once you get past the front four, you have space then before you get to the linebackers. And the safeties are completely out of the play.
Right. That's
because they're so concerned with downfield passes.
And you might not have the home run ball there, but it doesn't matter. If that's what the defense, football's a game, it's a chess match, right? And not breaking any news here, but when they're going to do things like that, you have got the minds, you have got the coaches on Ohio State staff that should be able to recognize that rather quickly. You should know going into a game like this what Indiana is mainly going to try to do to you defensively. And maybe they're just, it's not that Ohio State wasn't respecting them. Maybe it's more of a thing where Indiana is able to dig down deeper into their motivational tactics to play a little bit harder because they
don't
feel
play
disrespect
harder.
Coming at them. I don't know, but I think we can agree, player for player, they don't have the horses that Ohio State has.
No.
No one's going to dispute that, but they outplayed you in this game.
They outplayed you. They outcoached you.
They out everything to you.
They were the better team. Now, that's not to say that if they play 10 times that the result's not going to be that Ohio State wins 8 of them, but they didn't need to play 10 times. They played once, and they beat you. That's the beauty part of football. There's no series here.
You ran it for 58 yards. A lot of that was Julian saying sack yardage, but guess what? No. That counts. that goes down.
All right, there's plenty more. Plus, we'll take a look at the first-round playoff games coming up in 2 minutes. Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We've got a couple-minute delay on northbound 71 on the north side between Cleveland Avenue and 17th Avenue, and expect another holdup due to a crash if you're on Neal Avenue at Buttles Avenue. This report is sponsored by ChumbaCasino.com. With over 100 online casino-style games, Chumba Casino is your go-to destination for nonstop entertainment. Play for fun and play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Ken and Timmy is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. Listen every weekday from 3 to 6. They're good, clean boys. The Fan.
Let's get one thing perfectly clear. If you're not willing to kill baby Hitler, you're a moron. This is Common Man and Timmy.
Subscribe to the podcast of this stupid show. It's available wherever you get your audio. Just search Common Man and Timmy.
Click.
Subscribe. Every single show comes right to your device free of charge. Podcast brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. We are reacting to Ohio State losing to Indiana. We're going to look at the first round playoff matchups. Buckeyes going to the Cotton Bowl. Face the winner of Miami or Texas A&M. All right, first round matchups, Timmy.
First round matchups. Let's go.
And number 12. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say we had a lot of fun. If you missed it yesterday, it's still up there on 10TV and the Fan's YouTube page. It was Dom. It was Dane Sonsenbacher, Nicole Sheeran, and I breaking everything down as it happened. It was a lot of fun yesterday at noon. So one of the things you get with this is another selection show. Me being a big college basketball guy and loving March Madness, we now get that for college football. So it's cool.
And we haven't even really talked about the rest of the playoff field. We'll do that and, you know, Notre Dame's reaction and all of that. Number 12, James Madison going up against number 5, Oregon. You know, I would be absolutely shocked if this is a 20-point game.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. This is, we could talk about this later on, but the fact that we have teams like JMU and Tulane in this thing when they're not anywhere close to the top 12, that's a format issue, but they did earn their way in based on what this format is.
Right, based on what the criteria is. And I think the criteria is stupid.
I do too.
Number 11, Tulane, going up against number 6, Ole Miss. Number 10, Miami at Texas A&M, which is the game that we're most concerned with. And then Alabama at Oklahoma. your bye teams, Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech. Let's stick with James Madison and Tulane for a second. I have heard the comparisons. By the way, you know, I understand that all of this is harsh and doesn't seem fair to piss in their Cheerios when they worked really hard and they played good football games and they won their games and now they're here. And all just blowhards like me and you are just chopping them down.
It worked really hard, Grandpa.
So do washing machines. But we're in this spot where we're giving our opinion. We're paid pundits, right?
Oh, don't refer to us as pundits.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what we are. And my apologies to all the hard-working men on those football teams. They shouldn't be here. And this is not a case of, well, you got weaker divisions in the NFL, and do we say that the teams from the AFC South, because their record's not great, they shouldn't have a spot in the playoffs? No, because ultimately, they're still in the NFL. They're playing pretty much the same competition.
The reason you see the 2-win New Orleans Saints, you know, rise up, go on the road, and beat a good Tampa Bay team.
Exactly.
They're both in the league, all right?
You can't compare the schedules for James Madison or Tulane. Who would you say is the weakest conference out there right now? ACC?
The ACC.
12, whatever,
yeah.
Whatever.
You can't even compare it to Miami's schedule.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't compare it. And that's the problem with this college football system. We're trying to appease too many people. In reality, they should have their own separate playoffs.
I agree. I said this yesterday, if we're being completely fair for these teams, because I would want to go to a playoff format where I actually had a legitimate chance to win, you know? And again, it's not to say that if we kept doing this, we kept running our heads against a brick wall. I think there were some years, maybe 10, 15 years ago, where Boise State, they got awfully close. Like, they had some years where they felt like a legitimate top four, top three team in college football. And that was, I think, what kind of maybe started a lot of this, where you only had two teams. That was it. And then you had an unbelievable, undefeated, third-ranked team. Maybe they beat Oregon. They beat Washington in the non-conference.
Now we have more levels.
We've got more levels, and now we seemingly have worse mid-major teams that are in this party. And so it feels to me like if there is one that everybody agrees, say Tulane, and I think they may have beaten Duke or someone like that.
Had a couple of non-conference.
Yeah, they beat the ACC champs. But say, because I see MAC schools, they will just play. They'll play ridiculous non-conference schedules. They don't care. Every single MAC team starts the year off 0-3. So when you see one that actually has a 9-3 mark at the end of the year and goes to whatever their Pop-Tarts bowl, they're pretty good. But you'd have to beat a murder's row schedule, and everyone agrees you're a top 10 team. Then, okay, if you're voted in as a true at-large team, I can understand it. But being barely in the top 25, would you want to see a team that we put in Dayton? We're talking one of the 16 seeds. Would you want to just like throw them into the round of 32 without having to see them, you know, earn their way in?
No.
Well, again, two of those wins all time anyway.
If they get to the round of 32,
then you go.
That's a different story.
Yeah, but you don't need to see teams like that deeper into the field for no reason.
Especially
just
not two of them.
Not multiple ones as well. So you're going to see these home site games. Ole Miss has the one tricky situation there where Lane Kiffin's gone, but they did, you know, tab Golding as their permanent coach right away. So maybe that stabilizes them. But I'd give Tulane more of a chance to keep that thing a ball game than James Madison going all the way Oregon.
There's no way either one of those teams.
No, I agree with that.
Is walking out with a victory. We know that beforehand. That's the opposite of what the playoffs really should be.
Now, when we get to those other games, you have got, and these are going to be on, one's going to be on December 19th, and then the other three-pack will be on December 20th. So, JMU, Oregon, that's the 12-5. We hit the 11-6 game on the bottom of the bracket, Tulane, Ole Miss. Let's go back up there to the SEC battle there. Alabama gets in this thing, and they're going on the road to Oklahoma. So another rematch there of two SEC teams. And it was obviously three teams where this came down to where all the fighting was going to be. Miami, Alabama, and then the team that did not get in the Fighting Irish. But what do you think about that game? And that's going to feed into the Indiana game in the second round or the quarters.
I actually think those are two good matchups for Indiana. You know, they're not offenses that are going to blow you out of the water.
I think
Indiana's defense matches up well with both of those teams. And I wouldn't be surprised if, I know a lot of people think that, you know, Oklahoma's got the upper hand because they're the home team, and we just saw Alabama look like crap for the most part in the SEC championship game, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bama goes on the road, wins that game.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, that's the one. It's an 8-9. It's a rematch game, so I guess I could see that. I still, and a lot of it doesn't really have anything to do with the team we saw, because, you know, Indiana is the number one team in the country. They just took down Ohio State, and they did it with defense. They did it with just enough offense.
They beat Oregon on the road, and they beat Ohio State.
I would be crapping rocks just either way for that first game after you complete the 13-0 season, and then you'll have that pressure.
All right, but let's say that Indiana loses the game, whoever they play, Oklahoma,
they lose.
Alabama. Does that mean that in hindsight they shouldn't be the number one team in the country?
No, they should. I'm not saying that.
They've got the best resume. I don't care what anybody from the South tells you.
And I'm not saying that that's an unfair spot where we'll say like, oh, like why is Indiana even going to want to be the one seed if they got to play Oklahoma or Alabama? That doesn't seem, like you just said, that doesn't seem all that unfair for Indiana to play the three-loss team that got smoked in their conference championship, and then Oklahoma, who, yeah, Oklahoma's a balanced team, but they don't blow you away in either part. Not like what we just saw with Indiana's defense, and they're going to have the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback going in that game.
Now we'll talk more about, you know, what the Buckeyes didn't do or did do that caused them to lose that football game. But just looking at the matchup, you got Miami, you got Texas A&M. Who do you want to play?
I want to play Miami, because you're going to be playing this game at the Cotton Bowl in Texas.
Right.
If A&M wins, which I expect A&M to win, I'm still not overly concerned about them. That's a team that at times this year has given up more than 40 points in a game.
Mm-hmm.
We saw them slap it around for almost 50 minutes against South Carolina in College Station. And again, Ohio State had to go there, and they were playing Texas too. So you had every Texas fan in the world that wanted to get a ticket was able to go to that game with an easy trip. So you'll have the same thing, in my estimation, against Texas A&M. And I think there's going to be a couple of gut checks in that game because Ohio State won't have played in a long time, but we expect them to circle the wagons and perform. But I'd rather play Miami, but I think they're going to play A&M.
I don't know if you heard, but Notre Dame didn't make the playoffs, and they're a little upset about it. So we'll chat about that coming up next. Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
Watch for an accident that's causing some delay on South High Street north of Whittier Street, and you're going to hit a couple-minute slowdown on westbound 670 between Leonard Avenue and 3rd Street. This report is sponsored by Macy's Backstage. Macy's Backstage is a whole department inside your Macy's store where you can find so many holiday essentials, all for under $25. With new arrivals every day, you never know what amazing deals you'll find. Don't wait. Find a location at macysbackstage.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Oh, hello! I was talking to my annoying friend, Duchess Kumquat. She was retelling a very dramatic story about how her and Lord Beaverqueef were stuck sleeping in a very hot room because their janky air conditioning unit took a crapola. They were so hot and sweaty, it took them out of the mood for getting hot and sweaty. Don't be like Kumquat and Beaverqueef. Call my friends at Care Heating and Cooling. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company Beaverqueef can trust.
It's Monday Night Football on The Fan. Catch the Eagles and Chargers live from L.A. Fan coverage starts Monday at 8.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
The best thing about watching football this weekend, talking football on Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan.
This show cuts harder than a Cape Cod chip inside Timmy's mouth. This is Common Man and Timmy.
A lot has been happening when it comes to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish since they got snubbed by the College Football Playoff Committee. First of all, I guess, do you think that that was a straight-up snubbing? I, for one, think that it's bogus that Alabama gets into this thing at three losses, but I'm also not going to be crying for Notre Dame. There are three teams, two were going to get in. You left it up to chance. You were right at the end of this field as an at-large. And this is what happens when you lose a couple of games and you leave it open to chance.
I think from the Notre Dame perspective, it's, you know, we lost early. We won all our games after that. That should count for something. You know, all of that. I get it. And also, when you look at the week-to-week rankings that we've seen every single Tuesday night, they've steadily been in every single week.
Yeah.
And you don't play this past weekend. Alabama does play and lose. You know, you can't have it both ways. We can't reward teams for winning their conference championship and then also not penalize teams that look like crap in the conference championship game. And I think that's where Notre Dame is coming from. And they have very valid arguments. I understand the head-to-head with Miami. I get it. It's hard to ignore. If you believe, as the committee did, everything else is equal. However, I don't think their reaction has been appropriate.
No.
It's ridiculous.
It's your Notre Dame, okay? It stinks that you didn't get in.
You've got to bend all the rules over the years because you're Notre Dame. They roll out the red carpet for you most times because you're Notre Dame.
You had a stipulation back when it was the BCS, right? Someone pointed that out to me yesterday on social media as a reminder when I was looking at this little rule that they have cooking for them in the event that this stays a 12 or 14 team playoff next year, which it's probably going to advance beyond that, so they'd rip it up. But the stuff that Notre Dame's athletic director, Pete Bevacqua.
I know it's Bevacqua, and it's not Bellavacqua, okay? But I couldn't help but think of this soundbite from Seinfeld.
Yes, Mr. Bevacqua.
Every single time this guy would open up his mouth.
And another thing.
Yes, Mr. Bevilacqua.
Yes, we understand. You're very frustrated.
Just want you guys to know we won't be playing in a bowl game.
Yes, Mr. Bevilacqua.
And
yes.
I'd like you to know that if this were next year, we would be in the college football playoff.
Yes, Mr. Bevilacqua.
And I'd like you to know that we're not going to play ball with the ACC anymore.
Yes, Mr. Bevilacqua.
They were very mean to us with their comments.
They were
mean to
us.
You know what? Join a damn conference. Shut the hell up. I'm so tired of this.
So first thing that came out, of course, was that well-drafted statement. They put the little Notre Dame logo on it. As a team, we've decided to withdraw our name from consideration for a bowl game following the 2025 season. We appreciate all the support from our families and fans, and we're hoping to bring the 12th national title to South Bend in 2026. Signed, the 2025 Notre Dame football team. This is the first big chip where you don't get into the playoff and you say, okay, that's it. Forget about the Tax Slayer Bowl or the ReliaQuest Bowl. I even saw a quote from Mr. Bevilacqua.
Yes, Mr. Bevilacqua.
That said, he was on the Dan Patrick Show. I just saw this quote. I didn't see the full clip yet. I got nothing against the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Nothing against Pop-Tarts personally.
I have nothing against the Pop-Tarts.
I had one this morning for breakfast.
Yes, Mr. Bevilacqua.
I contend that a toaster strudel should get the namesake of that bowl game. I got nothing against the Pop-Tarts, but it's just not something that's going to be for Notre Dame at this point in time.
Now,
respect our decision.
Let's go back to one of his big gripes, which is these shows, these reveal shows on Tuesday. If they really mean nothing towards the final weekend, the final product, why do we have them? Well, We have them.
Why do we have them?
Because they're shown on
so
TV.
So Joey Galloway can talk.
And they make money for ESPN, which, by the way, you have a sort of roundabout deal with your kind of in-out relationship with the ACC. Just saying, that's why. I mean, let's not beat around the bush there. Are they useful? No. Just like preseason rankings aren't useful either. Welcome to college football. It's very inconsistent.
It's super inconsistent, and it's also an entertainment league. You think that they're not going to have this weekly reveal to drum up excitement and all of this drama for the sport? I come down to it at the end of the night. If Notre Dame is the one team that maybe had a shot, and they are good. I'll admit it. I think they're a good football team. I think when you sort all this out, I would have rather seen Notre Dame in this field instead of Alabama. I think the SEC gets more than enough. They get more than they should. You even had, what's their commissioner's name? Sankey? Well, Greg Sankey?
Yes, Greg Sankey.
Was talking about how we needed to have seven teams in this thing. Well,
shut up.
He's shut up.
He's a carnival barker for the hillbillies down there.
God.
That's his job.
I'd rather talk to the yak woman about the SEC. Just shut up. So I wish they would have been in, but it is a little bit embarrassing to see how far they're going with this. And the fact that they even had some signed agreement where if this got to next year and they were one spot safely in, they would have then theoretically jumped, just flat out jumped a team ranked ahead of them. The next at-large team that didn't have a safety spot,
essentially,
so it would have been
says,
Miami. They would have just flat-out jumped him because of a signed agreement.
We wrote a cheat code into the next year's agreement.
But it didn't work this year.
Yeah, we're going to utilize that cheat code.
We don't have the password until 2026, and it might not even be valid. It might time out before then if it goes past this. But all these things, not playing in a bowl game, pissed off at the ACC because they're putting out graphics about how Miami's better than us. So that puts a strain on the relationship.
Oh, they were very mean to us.
And that we would have been in next year. So think about that when you go to bed tonight.
You know, it's all about next man up. It's all about responding to adversity until it's not. Look, we saw Iowa State, Kansas State skip bowl games. And they're fined each $500,000 from the Big 12. But you can make a case, I'm not saying that it's perfectly valid, but you can make a case that both of those teams are going through head coaching changes. There's logistical issues why they don't want to play in a game. I get it. But Notre Dame saying we're not going to play in a game and taking their ball and going home is just pure and simple pouting. Okay?
Look,
that's what it is.
We have been there before where you are in a game that you're not excited to be in. Understand.
What was that game you played against Missouri a couple years back?
Oh, my God.
What the hell was that?
You talk about erasing from existence. That was a Cotton Bowl.
That was a Cotton Bowl,
wasn't
it?
Has there ever been a more like forgettable, mundane, major game? I remember seeing T-shirts for that game and the TJ Maxx. About 3-4 months after it was done.
I was going to say,
thinking,
who the hell's buying those?
Why are you
still? They're handing those out to the poor Somalis.
They're still charging them $20 for that. 20? That better be a dollar. And it better
a
be
dollar.
High quality. It better be the Nike or the Adidas branded shirt.
Yeah, get that gilding out of my face.
And I mean, what was it going to be? You're not going to get a championship T-shirt. We lost the game. So who wants the one that just says the Missouri helmet and the Ohio State helmet on it so you can remember that piece of crap game? But you know what? We scrounged up a team. We went out there. We played the game because that's what you do.
More conversation about the Buckeyes, what they didn't do against Indiana. Plus, we'll touch on some NFL coming up next. Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We've got a 5-minute delay on westbound 70 downtown between the 71 east and west split. And there's a disabled vehicle on northbound 71 on the north side after 17th Avenue. It's causing a 5-minute hold up there. Things are moving a little slow from Cleveland Avenue. This report is sponsored by franklincrisiscare.org. Are you or someone you know feeling overwhelmed by a mental health or addiction crisis? The Franklin County Crisis Care Center is now open 24/7 with care from certified peers and professionals. Learn more at franklincrisiscare.org. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Track.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
From the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State owns the 2 seed in the college football playoff and will play in the Cotton Bowl for the 3rd straight year against either Miami or Texas A&M on New Year's Eve. Tonight here, Buckeye Roundtable on the Fan at 6. NFL Browns rookie Shedeur Sanders will remain the starting quarterback the rest of the season. He passed for 364 yards in Sunday's loss to the Titans. Colts quarterback Daniel Jones suffered a torn Achilles. He'll miss the rest of the season. Tonight, the Eagles visit the Chargers at 8:15. Coverage of the Fan starts at 8. College hoops, Ohio State women's basketball moved to 21st in the AP poll after Sunday's win at Northwestern. Buckeyes, one of 9 ranked Big Ten teams, tying a poll record. This update sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend at Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck at Roosters locations or at roosterswings.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This show has over 50 years of combined radio experience.
They also have a combined mental age of 11. You're listening to Common Man and Timmy.
Fishy has handed me the plug sheet for tomorrow. It gets things started. T-Bone and Tyvus, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. They're doing Hot Take Tuesday. That's a new feature debuting tomorrow. They'll also talk to Jake Butt from the Big Ten Network. Yes, he's a former Michigan guy, but he also can speak and say things.
I like him.
I like him too.
He's not bad. If there's any, he's probably the best Michigan guy in the media today.
Bishop and Friends will talk to Jody Shelley at 11:30. And on this show tomorrow, Inside the Buckeyes, we got Rapid Fire, we got Game Show, and a quite big basketball game to get you ready for tomorrow. Buckeyes hosting Illinois.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, we mentioned Mizzou back there in that Cotton Bowl game. I was watching the Jayhawks beat up on Mizzou, and you left me a lovely hoodie on my chair this morning when I came
in. I was doing some online shopping.
Very nice of you. A little Adidas Kansas hoodie. Mikey just got one for me. Early Christmas present. Thank you, buddy.
I was just doing a little shopping. I was going to get myself a little Adidas thing, and then I saw that was on clearance, and I'm like, well, I can't just pass that up for Timmy.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's not even... It's not that loud either because it's a black hoodie and it's just got like the old classic Adidas 3-leaf
thing.
You
look sharp.
That was a big win for them yesterday, though. It was good to see.
Dave Portnoy apologized today for demanding Pete Carroll be murdered.
Now, why would he demand anything like that? I mean, I know they've sucked this year, but
it's not the sucking. It was the fact
let's not go to murder here.
The Raiders kicked a last second field goal yesterday.
Oh, that
to
was
only lose by 7.
That was the game that had the stupid field. That was the Raiders that did that. Okay.
And
okay.
then he goes on social media and says, I demand Pete Carroll be murdered. So he was on Wake Up Barstool this morning and he apologized for the 7 people that were watching that show, but whatever. It's almost like Igbenosin at this point. I know what to expect, so I don't get that upset. Like, yes, of course, but he didn't really mean someone should murder him. I mean, I know that.
Yeah, I think we can understand
still
that this is
it's
in jest. You know, boy, it's almost like Dave Portnoy should have just lost his job immediately for going out there and tweeting something so heinous towards Pete Carroll.
Heinous.
Which, by the way, what the hell are they doing? What are they thinking?
Are you questioning the wisdom of
what
Pete Carroll?
What are you doing?
Pete Carroll is the NFL's Biden at this point.
You can't.
Hey, you kick a field goal at the end. I mean, hey, make it a 1-score game. Yeah, but there's no time left on the clock, Pete.
Losing by 7, losing by 10.
You don't know what happened.
Gotta fire Chip Kelly again.
The only thing that I could have accepted was that there was maybe 8 or 10 seconds still on the clock, and you're doing the quick score because you don't want to waste the time, and then you're only banking on the onside kick and a Hail Mary.
There wasn't.
There's no seconds left. Game over. You lose.
Good day, sir.
Oh, hey.
Speaking of you lose, Buckeyes lose to Indiana. We have not talked about the red zone yet.
No.
Which has been a big problem for this team and continues to be. And look, as badly as things were in that game, you know, you didn't do a good job stopping their run. You did a terrible job at your line of scrimmage with the offensive line, both run blocking and protecting Julian Sain. All of those things were bad. You still had opportunities to win that game, even playing as poorly as you did. If you just execute in the red zone and not only come away with a touchdown, but just points. And, you know, we can focus on the missed field goal, and that was big, don't get me wrong. And we can focus on the knee that was phantomly down on the sneak up the middle that ruined that drive by Julian Sain.
You thought phantom?
No, I don't know why I said that. It was actually down.
I thought the millisecond right, I saw exactly. That. Oh, shit. Is not a conversion. They didn't even show the replay. They came back from break.
Oh, and by the way, how bad was that coverage?
Oh.
How bad were you come back from the broadcast?
Are you kidding
like,
me?
Oh, yeah, biggest moment in the game, and the referee announced it. And we
and we're, Indiana's got the ball.
We were doing whales jumping out of the ocean commercial. Ba, ba, da, ba. What the hell are we doing?
That tickled me because I sit there on the couch next to Jack and Sarah. And I'm like,
oh, the whales are jumping. It's the biggest moment in the game. Should we see what the referee says and how he announces it to the crowd? None of that.
What is
instead,
that? Like a
you
pack
get,
life? What's
you get
that commercial?
One mention like, hey, they're looking at the knee. And then they go to break. And then they come back. It's like, yeah, reversed. What? All right. Good answer.
So here's the thing, though.
Look no further, though, than the third down calls on those drives. They were
atrocious.
Awful.
Atrocious.
Horrible play calling.
The first one where you have a designed rollout to the short side of the field, you had what? Maybe two options? I mean, the play was clearly designed to try to get to Jeremiah Smith, but he was blanketed. There was no way he was going to get the ball in there. It's essentially just a throwaway. And I don't understand. With everything that you have done with your power eye, with your big packages, your heavy sets, if you are committed to going for it on fourth down anyway, and it's third and one, I need you.
Give it to number 12.
I need you
to just
get behind
all season.
The horses and pick it up. Don't go play. Just pick it up. Demand it. I don't care if you've got to get it. You got to take a timeout and scream in your offensive linemen's faces about their lack of physicality thus far in the game. There are some tight ends out there that just were not doing the job as well in the,
nobody
in the blocking
was doing
game.
The job. Nobody was.
Will Kaczmarek is the one guy, number 89, that still seems to be where he is supposed to be, blocking who he's supposed to be. But some other tight ends had a rougher go of it. But you can't tell me that with the way you've run the ball this year, that you can't figure out or be more committed in these short yardage situations. I think it's just as much hesitancy with the play calling as it is with the execution. Sure, I mean, Julian Sain has to get better at the quarterback sneak. He has to figure out a way to lunge his body forward and to lock his knees up so he doesn't just go down before you get to the line to gain. That's a thing he's got to learn. But if he doesn't have that bag of tricks yet, then you need to do something else. And you mentioned C.J. Donaldson. Like, he hasn't been the greatest running back, but
no, but that's been the game plan all season long in those situations.
He's got short touchdowns at the wazoo this year. You got to pick that up.
Now, on the third down play, before the missed field goal, I thought, and I'm sorry, I know that Ryan Day said that Julian Sain did exactly what he was supposed to do, and it was a perfectly sane thing to do. throw that football.
It looked like he missed a touchdown
it
to
was not,
Bo Jackson.
Well, not just that. It was not a goal situation. You needed a yard. You're telling me he can't fall forward in that situation and pick up a yard?
I don't know if he can make it running, but
I think there's certainly a way.
Bo Jackson
that you make
is
it
getting
running.
Out to the edge instantly, but it's like your boy Caleb Williams yesterday. He has to throw that ball immediately, or else that window is going to close. And he floated it up too high, and it got picked off. Julian has to roll out and immediately see Bo Jackson and make up his mind. There is no time to act. And when he tries to cut it back over his body, then Indiana's defender is going to close the gap on your tight end. So that option is taken away. But again, I'd rather you run the ball on third and one than I'd rather you... I'd hope you pick it up on third down and then run it again on fourth.
You and I agree on that.
Just run it twice if you're committed to winning the game with a touchdown. And I agree that you needed to go and get a score. I don't like just having it 13-13 and handing the ball back to the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
I didn't have any faith that the defense was going to go out there and stop them.
Or at least keep them. I had faith that they would keep them out of the end zone. I did not want to give them the ball.
Yeah, but they needed a field goal.
That's what I'm saying. I did not want to get in a situation which you were walking into. You were walking into the 13-13 game. That's what you planned on with 3 minutes left. The way Indiana was starting to get you on third downs, I was concerned that they would have enough in the tank. They missed a field goal in this game, too. They missed a 40-yarder, so that was out there. They would have had 16 points as well if they made their kicks, but I needed to see 17-10 to feel comfortable to make, so it was them scoring six to beat you, not kicking a field goal to beat you.
There was another aspect of this game that surprised me. I'll tell you what it is, what it was. Coming up next, Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
You're looking at hold up on westbound 670 after International Gateway due to an accident there. It's going to be slow traffic from 270. And watch out for another slowdown due to a crash that's on North Broadway at Eisenhower Road. This report is sponsored by the Ohio Department of Transportation. What do we do to be safe and ready to go? Buckle up, phones down, take it slow. Let's work together to ensure everyone makes it home for the holidays. Brought to you by ODOT, the Ohio State Highway Patrol, and Ohio Traffic Safety Office. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
The Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, it's Anthony.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny, breezy, chilly, and dry on this Monday. Temperatures running around 30 degrees. Overnight, we'll fall back down to the mid-teens with mainly clear skies and light winds. During the day on Tuesday, increasing clouds, increasing winds, temperatures in the upper 30s. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus is the official sportsbook of Common Man and Timmy. Weekdays at 3 p.m. The Fan.
Timmy desperately needs you to listen to this show so he can pay for his stupid dog's 10th ACL surgery. This is Man and Timmy.
All right, a couple things we haven't touched on yet. Omar Cooper didn't play really in this game.
No, and he got knocked out.
I mean, he is far and away their best wide receiver. And Fernando Mendoza didn't have him. And yet I still think they took advantage of opportunities down the field because, and you and I have said this, it is amazing that other teams don't just throw deep on the Buckeyes more often because you have good players back there, but they are handsy. And we saw it on Saturday with pass interference calls.
Yep.
They can't help themselves.
Lorenzo Styles had probably one that he got away with, and then he had the one that he didn't get away with.
Matthews had a call back there as well.
And he got beat twice.
Yeah.
And he got beat on the touchdown, which again, Matthews is, he's playing, he's tight, right? He's right on the guy. But that's football, right? Like you watch.
Yeah, he's right on the guy.
You throw on the NFL film, a lot of these dudes are punching and scraping down at the ball. You're not just there. You're there, and then your hands go to the right places to rip and scratch the ball away right at the point of attack.
He didn't have the timing.
That's what Jermaine needs to do next.
He didn't know when the ball was coming.
Mm-hmm. He was still turned around watching his guy. He's trying to stay with the guy,
right?
And that's good. Like you might be able to get your hand up there when you're not looking, and it makes contact and it falls away, or you got a guy go up there and just make an incredible play. Elijah Surratt with a big-time play. Charlie Becker with a big-time catch. And credit to them for throwing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very reminiscent to what Ohio State did to Jeremiah Smith to go and nail the coffin in Notre Dame last year. You give us a single coverage, we're gonna take the shot. We're going to take the deep shot, win the game, beat you right now. For them to go with the, I mean, how many yards they get on that play? I don't know. It was more than 20, right? Took the fade out there to threw it over Jermaine Matthews' head and won the game when they kept the ball third down.
I don't know what the exact yardage was.
It was a big play.
It was huge.
It was a big play.
Huge play.
It was a game-winning play.
Indiana made the plays they had to make, and Ohio State didn't.
We didn't talk about the fact that Fernando Mendoza looked like he got knocked out of the game on the first play from scrimmage. And he is in the medical tent. I don't know if he went in the medical tent or not, but he went to the sideline. He was on the turf, face down, clean as a hit can get, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's exactly what you coach them to do.
Yeah, every Indiana fan, they seem to have thoughts on that was dirty.
Well, then they don't know
that
the rule.
That was not.
I'm glad that the referees didn't overreact.
Me too.
And throw a flag on that play.
Because
that was a clean hit.
Star quarterback, you don't want to see that. You know, first play of the game in a big game like this. Everybody on both sides, I think, Indiana, just as much as on our side with Ohio State, we are excited and kind of on pins and needles to see how our team performed in this big game. Now that we have advanced into championship season, you don't want to see that guy going out like that first play of the game. That would have been devastating. But credit to his toughness for getting back up, getting in the game. Both of his elbows are bloody the whole time.
Something that Ryan Day's been stressing all season long, and I agree with him 100%, is that it's not about the opponent you're playing. It's about Ohio State going out there and executing their game. And I get that. I get that for the regular season. I get that when you're playing teams that just aren't as good as you. You don't want to play their game. That's what they want you to do, to get out of your comfort zone and make mistakes. However, when you are playing a team that's also pretty damn good, and Indiana is, you have to take what they're giving you at times. I feel like we were too stubborn. We're going to get the ball downfield because that's what we do. It's like, all right, man, but your offensive line can't pass block enough to give Julian Sain time to get the ball downfield. You also have deep-ass safeties. You have linebackers that are dropping into zone coverage. And really, you've got 10 yards that they're giving you every single play. Now, clearly, the running back can't get past the line of scrimmage because our run blocking also sucks. So he could break one.
But it shouldn't have.
No,
and
I know that.
We can
and
make
that's
excuses.
Something that, no, there's no excuses.
We can make excuses about the week that was and how you came off for the Michigan game. But
I don't want to hear about
it. And, you know, to his credit, Ryan Day has not gone out there with those excuses.
Ryan Day's
just a lot
not.
Of fans have been
but
pointing that out.
One thing, I understand that he's not Will Howard. All right, I understand that he's not necessarily a guy who's going to run with his legs. But at some point, you have to tell Julian Sain, dude, if it's in front of you, take it. It doesn't mean be reckless. It doesn't mean put your head down and try and just shoulder pad your way through, but they're giving you 10 yards. Take it. Scramble.
I mean,
get out of bounds.
The check down game to our running backs was something that was working. I mean, it was, you know, you would see C.J. Donaldson not picked up out of the backfield. You would see Bo Jackson squirting free out of the backfield for 8 to 10 yards. And that's been available a lot this season.
We saw it to start the second half.
Anytime you get the ball in Bo's hands out of the backfield,
they're rolling,
he can make a guy miss.
Julian out of the pocket, and they realize the tight ends are playing in this game.
Yeah.
Because the only time we had seen the tight ends was when they were laying on their backs. Because they couldn't block anything. But all of a sudden now, it's like, oh, we'll throw the tight end for 8 yards. Yes, you will. And you'll set up a second and two, and it's much easier.
I will say this, though. And I'm sure some of the websites or some of the folks that like track every single play have put this out there already. I've not seen it. But as far as three wide receiver sets, the packages that Ohio State was throwing out there offensively, and all of the heavier stuff, because again, the tight end room has been a big component of this football team.
Yes.
And they've been important. Nate Roberts, though, these guys have their roles. Nate Roberts will come in there and play fullback, right, when you're in a short yardage situation. Will Kazmarek is a little bit of a two-parter. He can catch a pass route. People don't expect that, but he's a great blocker. Max Clair, obviously, is the guy that you throw out there. I don't think I saw enough of Max Clair out there, like, running routes. I didn't see enough three wide receiver sets.
It was a disappointment. That's the other thing, too.
It was less than half. I bet it was less than half of the time that Ohio State only had two true wide receivers out in formation. And I just, you want to like use the weaponry that you have a little bit more, because I think Indiana defensively needed to be strained. You needed to strain them a little bit to then work back into your run game. Spread them out. Come back in, maybe run a little bit from the three wide receiver sets, get the ball in Bo Jackson's hands. He can find some of those creases. The offensive line maybe has a little bit of a better opportunity to get some of those blocking lanes opened up. I didn't think they did that enough. That's me personally.
I don't think they took advantage of what was in front of them enough. Zone has built-in weaknesses. That's why you don't see teams running exclusively zone very often.
Right.
There are holes in that zone. You have to figure out where those holes are going to be. That's on your quarterback, obviously, to find them. That's on your offensive line to give your quarterback time to find them. And that's on your wide receivers, too, to realize that, hey, I know I'm supposed to run this route. However, if I cut this off right here, I'm going to find a hole in this zone. And so I'm going to sit here, and my quarterback's going to see me instead of running into that coverage space right there.
Yes.
You know, and that's something that... I have to watch the all coaches film,
the all 22, to see who
exactly
is missing
what type of routes
the
receivers were running, and if they were running past the open spaces in that zone.
I don't care whose fault it was.
No, it doesn't matter. It's everyone's fault.
It didn't happen.
And then as a coaching staff, when you realize that guys are not picking this up, you've got to change what you're doing. And I was shocked to see it, because this Buckeye team's been really good at in-game adjustments throughout this season.
Yeah,
I don't think they were at all.
No, the fact that they had no points in the second half, it tells you everything that you need to know. But again, they were able to move the football. They figured out how to move the football on this team, and that is the story of the game. We'll talk a lot about those two drives, and that probably is the story of the game, but the underlying one for me was the first drive of the second half. I think you mentioned it there a little bit ago, where you started off with the pass to the tight end.
They're rolling Julian Sain out of the pocket.
I think
that
was Kazmarek. Maybe he went head over heels, got 10 or 11 yards on the first play.
Clair had won that drive, too.
I think the next play was a nice run up the middle. Bo Jackson had some space. You got something done in the pass game the previous play. You hit him for a run on first and 10. He might have gotten 20 yards or so to start that drive. But then it was right after that where the offensive line just wasn't holding up again.
Mm-hmm.
And that right side, Phillip Daniels and Tegar Tshabola, we gotta be better than that. You've got to be more on point in a big game. You have one rep that maybe you lose badly. Okay, pick it up, apologize to your guys in the huddle, and move on from there. It was just too many times where something was missed. You had that dude, I think it was the guy from London, Ohio, Isaiah Jones. How about that? Like from a tiny town here in Ohio, he was out there just creating havoc and had two sacks and two TFLs in that game. But once you had those two big plays and then immediately went backwards, you had the bogus sack where they called him down.
Probably, that was just...
probably wasn't down.
No, bogus he wasn't call. Down. He was spinning away.
He's wiggling around. But it didn't negate the fact that you had problems. Because even if he wasn't down, Indiana was in your head.
Absolutely.
And their defensive line was abusing you, and you were still under duress. And then them getting nothing on that drive, I think, set the tone for you not being able to score, even after those two long drives.
Our guy Dom Tiberi spoke to Ryan Day yesterday. We will hear from the coach coming up in 2 minutes. Common Man and Timmy on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We've got a 5-minute delay on southbound 315 between King Avenue and West Broad Street, and you're looking at some holdup due to an overturned vehicle if you need to travel on Cleveland Avenue at Jack Gibbs Boulevard. This report is sponsored by Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members get 500 points for logging into the Lowe's app for the first time. Take advantage of all your pro benefits today. Valid 12/1/25 to 1/7/26. Offer valid for first login only. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for more details. I'm Nicole for 97.1, The Fan Traffic.
Oh, hello! I was talking to my annoying friend, Duchess Kumquat. She was retelling a very dramatic story about how her and Lord Beaverqueef were stuck sleeping in a very hot room because their janky air conditioning unit took a crapola. They were so hot and sweaty, it took them out of the mood for getting hot and sweaty. Don't be like Kumquat and Beaverqueef. Call my friends at Care Heating and Cooling. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company Beaverqueef can trust.
And Timmy is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. Listen every weekday from 3 to 6. They're good, clean boys. The Fan.
These two morons keep the studio so cold that Timmy's nipples can cut glass. You're listening to Common Man and Timmy.
These guys are cool, but not that cool.
Oh, this could be a tough time of the year if you've got a big home project coming up. Maybe that roof on top of your house is not in the greatest shape. Maybe you get to your driveway every single night, you look up at that thing and just say, shit. You might need to call my friends at Victor's Home Solutions. They are the only roofer that I would trust in my house. I have had their unbelievably free and unbelievably wonderful 21-point roof inspection. They give you the most thorough inspection in the business. They tell you everything you need to know about your roof. Maybe some of the things you don't need to know, but it's thorough. They'll get all up in that attic, make sure the ventilation is tip-top. You might just need repairs. But if you need a full replacement, they're going to offer you a 50-year leak-free guarantee because that comes on every single roof they install. Covers the workmanship, covers the materials, covers everything. So do not wait. Start up with that 21-point roof inspection. Call them, 866-VICTORS, or just go online, victors.com.
We have been talking Ohio State, talking playoffs for the entire show. We'll take a little break. We'll do some foodgasm coming up at 4:46. We will touch on the NFL from yesterday. We'll also talk about Michigan adding a new member to their coaching staff. But right now, Ryan Day was speaking yesterday with our Dom Tiberi from 10TV. The only place that Ryan Day was talking was to our guy Dom. And that's because Dom has naked pictures of Ryan. Here is Ryan Day talking about learning from the loss.
Yeah, well, it's 24 days away, so you know, when you think about it, I think it's 24 days, but right around there. I think when you look at it that way, you know, it's a long road, and you know, we're fresh off of this loss. So, you know, you can't just move right on, you know, so quickly because, you know, you got this time to kind of identify the things that didn't go well and what we got to do to get fixed. But we'll quickly flush it out, identify what those things are, and then it'll be important how we practice because we got to keep our edge throughout the month.
I think it's important to note, though, that Ryan was not able to just brush this game and flip the page just like that.
He didn't want to.
He didn't sleep after it. He had a knot in his stomach. I mean, when they got to the Woody the very next day, there was a lot going on. I can imagine there was a lot going on and a lot of wondering. And you also wonder what those team meetings are going to be like and who the vocal guys are going to be. And when it comes to players, because we heard so many of those stories after how it went when they lost that Michigan
who's
game.
Who's the Jack Sawyer?
Who would be that Jack Sawyer?
On this team.
Is that Sonny Styles?
I don't know.
Is that a guy like Arvell Reese?
But
is
Ryan Day alluded to the fact that there were a lot of vocal, pissed off guys in that locker room right after the game, because much like I'm sure a lot of you did, I watched that game and then I couldn't just like go to sleep. So I turned on our post game coverage here on The Fan because I wanted to hear Ryan Day at the podium. And he alluded to the fact that we got some real pissed off guys. This does not sit well in the locker room right now. We got to go back and we got to watch film. And one of the other things he said, and I talked about this earlier, is that you're playing a deep zone. Indiana was. You got two safeties deep. You got linebackers playing 10 to 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. That should be a recipe for running the ball really well.
Yeah.
And we have to go back and watch film and determine why that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
And you do need to, I mean, you're going into championship season. And are you once again, like you saw, are you looking at getting a guy like Gabe Van Sickle a lot more reps? Are you going to have an open competition at right guard as you go into the college football playoff? I honestly do not care. Whatever is best for the football team and whoever is going to help you sleep better at night, knowing that you're going to be able to run that football and you're going to get the best run blocking imaginable.
So Dom asked the question, was Saturday a wake-up call? And I know we're playing audio here, we're not playing video, but Ryan Day's face said, I don't want to hear that. But here's what his words said.
Whether it's a wake-up call or just when you go into a game that, a matchup game, they're a good team. The assumptions that you make about certain things throughout the season that aren't right get pushed to the forefront. And then, the issues that are there, really head to the surface. And so you combine all of those things. So it's our job as coaches to make sure we're putting our guys in a position to be successful based on what we have. And so we got to look at all those things, and it's coaches and players included, because, when you go through a loss, I mean, it's everybody involved. And, it really could have come down to one play in all three phases that if we had done a better job, we could have put ourselves in a situation to win the game. But it shouldn't come down to one play. That's the bottom line. That's the whole idea of leave no doubt, which we'll make sure we're reiterating as we head into this next game.
I'm going to put that through the translator for you. That was Ryan Day, as diplomatically as he possibly can, saying, my coaching staff didn't do a good enough job preparing for the Indiana Hoosiers, and we didn't put our guys on the field in a place to succeed. That's what I believe. Because he talked about, whether it's assumptions that you have about the opponent. And, that to me speaks of, we thought they were going to play a certain way. Or some of my guys thought they were going to play a certain way. And it turns out that didn't happen.
Yeah, it turns out Indiana was a little bit better. A little bit better than maybe we thought they were.
Maybe better.
We didn't think we had to have that kind of performance
to
beat these guys by 21 points.
Continue to do what they always do, and that you would eventually wear them down in the second half, because that's what the Buckeyes have done at times this year. They just wear teams down, and then the score looks good at the end, even if it was a little close to start, because you're just deeper than them from a talent standpoint. And Indiana didn't let you do that.
Mm-mm.
I also found it interesting. Teddy, I don't know if you can get it, but it was in the post-game press conference where he was asked, he being Ryan Day, was there extra distraction this week with Brian Hartline? And do you feel like he was doing everything that he normally does to get ready for this game? And Ryan Day answered it, and he dismissed it, and he said, it's something we're going to focus on, we got to work on. But there wasn't an immediate no.
Right?
It was like, no. I never questioned his focus for a second.
It was a little bit of a...
There was a little something there.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because we spoke about this last week, and we both are of the mind that this is a much, much different situation than what you have, like with Lane Kiffin, who just high and dry is taking a head coaching job at another in-conference school. This is Brian Hartline's first ever head coaching position. That's a big step in his career. But I got to tell you, like, you wake up here on a Monday while we are here dissecting and poring over all of the minutiae of this Indiana-Ohio State game, and Brian is all smiles, and he's in South Florida. He's talking to the team. He's wearing their colors. He is the head coach at South Florida. And He is the offensive coordinator at Ohio State for a college football playoff. Please talk me off the ledge, because again, I think there is a way where they do this. And Ryan Day did also say, I think it was in the same postgame press conference, where he's been calling plays, Brian has, but he's always had influence, and that Ryan might have more influence. Because you could see him yapping on the headset. Like whenever they were showing Ryan and they had the ball on offense, they were going through those two long drives, they show Ryan like chatting a lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe he takes even more. I think that's what he's saying. I think to spell it out, he's going to take a more inclusive role in the offense because you have this situation with Brian Hartline.
Teddy, did you find it? Did you find that one little cut?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe I'm misremembering the answer, but play it for me, Teddy.
I'm not going to get into too many details on it all.
There you go.
I think Brian is doing everything he possibly can to finish his time here the right way, and I appreciate that. And so we're all involved with it, and we're all doing everything we can to make sure that we put the guys in the right situation to be successful. We got a bunch of guys in that room, and we'll make sure as we head into the next few weeks that we're on point. And we're doing our part.
Translation, I don't like it for 1 minute.
Hearing it back, it's even worse than I thought. It's like, hey, is he distracted a little bit? I don't want to get into that.
I'll
it's like Costanza
what,
when he goes into the doctor's
stinks.
Office. Says, cancer? Get out of here.
You
want
you
one
to say
of those.
It quick. Yeah.
No, what are you're questioning his dedication? He's the most dedicated guy. He's the first person in the building. He's flipping his ATV just to get into the building before everybody else. Instead, we got him, I don't want to get into that right now.
I'm not going to get into too many details. He's doing what he can do to give us the best that he can give. Heartline, not locked in? Get out of here. He's the most locked in guy you've ever seen. His
nonsense.
Middle name is Locked. Brian Locked Heartline.
More Buckeye conversation. We'll talk some Bengals and Browns, too, because they had quite the days.
We got foodgasm.
Yes. Oh, we do?
Foodgasm.
Oh, food. You know what?
Better. Talk a little food.
Even
we need a break.
Better.
And I need a snack.
Food
Bye-bye.
Time. Bye-bye. Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
You're looking at a 10-minute slowdown if you're on eastbound 70 on the east side between James Road and the Franklin County line. And watch out for another holdup due to a crash that's on Noah Bixby Road at Majestic Drive. This report is sponsored by Taco Bell. Taco Bell's Luxe Cravings Boxes gives you decadent options. $5 gets you fan favorites, $7 gets you the fancy stuff, and $9 sends you on a journey of flavor exploration. Get yours at participating stores for a limited time. Prices and participation may vary. Drinks exclude freezes, tax extra. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. Can I tell you a secret? One of my joys in life is a good clean out. Once in a blue moon, I will take it to the next level. I have an air vent right over the toilet. So when I know a wild ride is coming, I'll turn down the AC a few minutes before it's go time. And then when I sit down, beautiful cold air greets me, blowing in my face as I do the deed. And the only people I trust to keep my crapper temp in tip-top shape, that's Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
For morning knowing anything is possible, because if these guys are hosting a radio show, imagine the possibilities. T-Bone and Tyvus.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
Your home for football, food, and fun.
I need a Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
What's the point of watching football all weekend if you can't overanalyze it?
Reaction Monday is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan.
Two men who are not allowed to sleep in the same room as their wives. This is Man and Timmy.
This dumb show brought to you by the Hinder and Motor Company. What was I going to say to you?
I don't know, because
I don't.
We're going to have the foodgasm soon. unless you had something else first.
Well, I have nothing for Foodgasm. Do you have something?
Well, I mean,
or should we, I mean, we're jonesing to get to this segment. Does either of us have anything to say? That's the question.
I know you have something for Foodgasm.
What do I have?
You made something this weekend.
Oh, the bread pudding?
Yeah.
Man and Timmy present.
Oh, yeah.
Foodgasm.
Sponsored by Metal Supermarkets. Visit metalsupermarkets.com/Columbus for all your metal needs.
Let's go back to last week where I thought I was being a good husband and father. Every single time I'd go into the Krispy Kreme to get the Charlie Brown donuts, they'd say, "We don't have any. We're all sold out." So I got up early and I ordered some online. Nice Grubhub driver brought them to my door. It wasn't his fault. 16 minutes door to door. I could see what he was doing. Stopped right at the Krispy Kreme. Brought the donuts to my door. 7:30 in the morning. And they were at least a day old. An embarrassment.
Unbelievable.
An embarrassment. No. I ordered a dozen Charlie Browns. I also ordered a dozen original glazed because I had plans for that dozen original glazed. And that was this weekend. I was going to make Krispy Kreme bread pudding. And bread pudding I made, Timmy.
And you texted me a little picture of that.
Let me tell you something,
and
baby.
And boy, oh boy, did it look spicy.
Your pants would fly right off your body.
I would hope so.
I also used some of the Hartzler eggnog in the bread pudding.
You did?
Oh, it has all the seasonings you would want.
How many of those jars you still got left?
I went and bought more.
You did?
Yeah, I love the nog.
We have like 12. They brought like 12 here. That was very generous of them.
I'm a big fan of the nog, especially in applications like this when you're using it in something. By the way, make some French toast with that eggnog.
Oh, my God. You did that, too?
Hey, I didn't get these boobs for nothing, Timmy.
I
earned them.
I can't tell you the last time we did French toast in the house. How often would you say you have that?
Actually, because I can't make a pancake to save my life, French toast is sort of like my go-to.
You can't make a good pancake?
I'm not good at pancakes.
What's the issue? Like, you can't make the batter the right way?
I can't get the cook I want, the fluffiness that I want. I've tried homemade stuff. I've tried mixes. I've tried it all.
That surprises me.
And then I just decide, you know, let's go out for pancakes, but Daddy can make a good French toast.
You should make some waffles. That's
even waffles
better.
Suck.
Right, Timmy?
No,
they're
waffles
better.
Don't suck.
They
what are you
suck.
Talking
they're
about?
Landers sucks.
No. All you got to do is go to your Costco or Sam's Club and spend the whatever $60 it is for like the Waring Pro Belgian waffle iron. That is the best, other than my griddle, the flat top griddle, which is like a Pronto brand. It was $20. I think we got it right after we got married. That thing has been banging this long. And it just, you plug the thing in and like you take it out when you got to clean the thing. That and that waffle iron, best household appliances I've ever had.
Make the Krispy Kreme bread pudding. I served it with some vanilla bean ice cream.
It's got to have the bean.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many. How do you differentiate? Like, what calls for? I just pick vanilla bean with almost anything because I think it's the best. Like, if you got a Coke float, root beer float with a bread pudding, with a chocolate cake. But there's all these different kinds. You've got like the vanilla gold. You've got like silk. You've got plain vanilla.
What the hell is vanilla gold?
It's like a golden. It's a different style.
I don't know
of,
anything about that.
It's a different style of vanilla ice cream.
I've tried a lot. I'm a vanilla guy, by the way. I don't poo-poo vanilla. But whenever I'm buying vanilla for the house, I've tried all different varieties. I've tried the fancies. I've tried the bargain stuff. You cannot get a better just plain vanilla than Ben & Jerry's for me.
Mm.
I tried them all. The Van Leeuwen's and the Häagen-Dazs and the
You're talking straight brand. Yeah, you're just talking the brand of ice cream.
Yeah. Ben & Jerry's vanilla bean, best vanilla ice cream I've ever had.
You're gonna laugh. You're not gonna laugh at me. But if you don't want to go with one of the big brand names,
The Meyer brand, Timmy?
I contend that the Purple Cow is Meyer's ice cream.
Yeah, the Meyer brand. What a shocker, Teddy.
They're $2.99 for
the Meyer brand.
Whatever it is. Not a pint. What's the regular, just a standard size? A quart of ice cream. Yeah.
Can't beat Meyer that. Brand's not giving you pints.
No, they're giving you the full size, the full container.
Timmy, look, I'm all about a value, but if we're eating here, we're eating. All right, I'm going to get the best quality ice cream I can put with my bread pudding that I put sweat and tears into.
Also, it's the Perry's ice cream, they're delicious. Perry's ice cream, they're fantastic. I think they do. They had a deal where they did the Blue Jackets branded ice cream flavor. They did a Buckeye branded ice cream flavor too.
It's really good, except for the last couple of bites. Then you vomit. Is that the Blue Jackets ice cream flavor?
Because you got a big lead.
See what I did there?
And then you just yak it all.
Even score against the Capitals, because we can't do that.
No, not when Washington's on the schedule. Just move on to the next opponent. Homemade ice cream is a good brand too. Have you had that?
Homemade?
Yeah, the brand is called Homemade.
No.
See that in the freezer section. I've tried them.
I ain't seen it.
It's a little bit pricier, but it's really damn good. It's creamier and it's richer.
Now, you would think, because I had a buddy who said, man, that Krispy Kreme bread pudding's got to be really sweet because you got all the glaze from the donuts. He couldn't believe, because I gave him some, he couldn't believe that I also added half a cup of brown sugar to that already sweet donut product, because it was not overly sweet. It's delicious.
It is good.
A little nutmeg.
It looked so good.
Little heavy cream, and then a little nog, little eggnog in there too. And then you bake that thing for a good 45 minutes. You want that top to get nice and golden brown.
What are the desserts that are going to be on the docket for Christmas?
See, Christmas to
it's
me...
It's a different animal than Thanksgiving.
I love Christmas. It's great.
You've already made the bread pudding Christmas now, so that probably didn't come back.
Is the most boring dessert holiday in my family because it's all just cookies.
It doesn't have to be.
No, it does have to be, because let me tell you...
What about the puppy chow? People like to make a mix of puppy chow.
Let me tell you something. It's the same thing. I host Christmas Day. My mom comes over. She brings a huge tray of homemade cookies. My mother-in-law comes over and has to outdo my mom by getting an even bigger tray of homemade cookies.
That doesn't sound bad to me.
So, no, it's not, but it's all cookies. If I were to, say, put a cheesecake out in competition with their cookies, they would both have me for dessert.
They'd
kill me dead.
I also think the best cherry pie you can make is perfect for Christmas.
No, they won't let me
I think the colors of it, the fact that it's red, is a great thing for the Christmas spirit.
I guess you don't want any of my cookies then. I guess I'll just throw them away.
The cookies have to get made. Cookies is an all month thing. Like, that's not just for actual Christmas. I'm talking about like Christmas Day, where you've got to have like a good couple of pies.
I don't see my mom's cookies before Christmas Day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
She just unveils them on Christmas Day.
I need to be snacking on those at least a week,
I'm telling you, man.
You got to have your cookie day at least the weekend prior, maybe two weekends. You need to make we don't make enough in our house.
I can't put other desserts out in competition with the Christmas cookies. The old ladies be scratching my eyeballs out.
Oh, I'm sorry to say.
All right, 12 Big Ten teams will be bowling. Where are they going? And then more conversation about the Buckeyes coming up next. Colin Mann and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We've got a 20-minute delay due to an accident that's blocking the left lane on southbound 270 on the east outer belt north of 33. It is stop and go from Livingston Avenue. And there's slower traffic on southbound 71 on the north side between Cleveland Avenue and East Broad Street. This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance makes the claims process easy so you can get back on the road in no time. It's why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive. See for yourself at Progressive.com. That's Progressive.com. I'm Nicole. For 97.1, The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care, Heating, and Cooling. Can I tell you a secret? One of my joys in life is a good clean out. Once in a blue moon, I will take it to the next level. I have an air vent right over the toilet. So when I know a wild ride is coming, I'll turn down the AC a few minutes before it's go time. And then when I sit down, beautiful cold air greets me, blowing in my face as I do the deed. And the only people I trust to keep my crapper temp in tip-top shape, that's Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
From the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State has the 2 seed in the college football playoff and will play in the Cotton Bowl for the third straight year against either Miami or Texas A&M December 31st. Tonight, catch Buckeye Roundtable on the Fan at 6. NFL Browns rookie Shedeur Sanders will remain the starting quarterback the rest of the season, while center Ethan Posick will miss the remainder of the year with a torn Achilles. Colts quarterback Daniel Jones also suffered a torn Achilles. He'll miss the rest of the season as well. Tonight, Eagles visit the Chargers at 8:15 on the Fan. In college hoops, Ohio State women's basketball moved from 23rd to 21st in the AP poll. Up next, the Buckeyes host Northern Kentucky Thursday. The men's team welcomes Illinois Tuesday at 7:30. This update sponsored by the Lion's Den, official store for pleasure, passion, and romance. Shop discreetly in-store or online and unlock a world of confidence and connection at Lion's Den.
Remember that funny line from Christmas Vacation?
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Well, these morons keep jamming them down our throats, so they're not funny anymore. Here's Man and Timmy.
Happy Monday. It's Reaction Monday. We are reacting to the Buckeyes losing to Indiana. And you're looking for two guys to tell you. None of that mattered anyway, what you saw on Saturday. See? You
got a still the number
first
two
round
team.
Bye, number two team, made the playoffs, and come to the wrong place, man. I'm not saying the sky is falling and the season's over and they can't go out and win a national championship. None of that. But I am saying that I cared about winning the Big Ten. It's been a while, Stan.
You should care.
Yes, we should care about winning this conference. It means something.
I think, like you said, that's a bit too much moving the goalposts. If you're trying to brush that game off and put it behind you that quickly, like none of those things matter. There are some things in that game that Ohio State better learn quick. They better learn and get some things corrected, or else they will not win the national championship. You know, and this is their story now. They did lose that game. So ultimately, in 3 weeks, when it is time to go back and play again, I will be okay. You know, we don't have to get into that whole discussion about, oh, would you rather win the national championship or would you rather win the Big Ten championship? Of course, I would rather win the national championship, but we don't know if we're going to do that just yet.
Correct.
If they keep playing the way they played in the Big Ten title, that's not going to happen. That's the first performance that we've seen like that out of Ohio State. They've been darn near a perfect team to this point, and Indiana is rightfully, they have earned their spot as the number one overall seed, an unbeaten team. That is a really good football team, better than I expected them to be.
I almost would have felt better about that game if you were playing out of your character, if we had some unfortunate turnovers and penalties that just cost us. But it was the fact that you were whooped at the line of scrimmage that concerns me. You know, that Indiana gave you a defensive look for the entire game. The same defensive look for the most part the entire game, and you couldn't figure out a way to consistently beat it. That you had more problems in the red zone getting points. Not just touchdowns, points. If you just get points every single time you go in that red zone, you win the game.
Are there any concerns? I'll bring this up. Are there any concerns for you about how our good, clean boy, Julian Sain, is going to respond the next time he's in a tough situation like this? Because
no,
the team had Michigan pretty much under control in that second half, and it didn't come down to a late fourth quarter situation where Ohio State had to do something. Now, I thought it was pretty critical, the drive that they put together, but you just had to turn around and hand the ball off, and they were shoving it down their throat, and they turned a two-possession game into a three-possession game.
At no point did I look at Julian Sain and said, oh my God, the moment's too big for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think his offensive line blocked for him well. His offensive line didn't help with the run game at all, so that took that away from him.
I thought it was the play calls more so than his decision-making, although we already stated, I thought he could have released the football and found Bo Jackson. I thought that was the read. I thought that was the throw, and he didn't pull the trigger on it.
That's completely fair. I'm not saying he played a fantastic game, but you know, a lot of those routes had your wide receivers going deep. Carnell Tate's running 30-yard routes.
Some people
Jeremiah Smith
up.
Is too.
Some people brought this up too. Is he having a hard time finding Brandon Ennis? I feel like they've pulled up some film where Ennis seems to be breaking free. A few a few times throughout football games point, with some big like chunk gains in intermediate routes.
That's
too.
The type
you can't
of game
seem to scope them out
where you know the defense is giving you the middle of the field mm-hmm. to the point, to a point, and Brandon Ennis could have had a big game as your slot check down Charlie type of guy.
Absolutely.
And I am surprised that we didn't pivot to that. We started to do it more with the tight ends in the second half.
Yeah.
But you're right. Brandon Ennis was missing from that equation.
And then again, like there weren't a ton of those options because so many of the sets they were running didn't have three wide receivers out there. To the point that I brought up last hour, I thought spreading Indiana out a little bit more, trying to find different ways to put strain on their defense so you could get back to that run game. And, you know, it's easy to sit here and say when you pull up the film, when you're in the heat of the moment, some of those issues were the offensive line. And Julian Sain is not able to sit in the pocket as long as he's used to sitting in the pocket to find a guy like Brandon Ennis. Some of it is on him. We still know, and the different situation is you had a fifth-year quarterback in Will Howard going into this thing last year, and we can even debate which quarterback is better. Julian Sain right now as a redshirt freshman with how he's developed start of the season to the end, but Will Howard was a guy that had been through a lot of football games, and he had played in some championship settings. So I think you were at a little bit farther ahead from just your quarterback just being through stuff going into the championship season. But this is who you are. This is who you have. And I want to make it perfectly clear, confident that Julian Sain, it doesn't always have to be the same. There are freshman quarterbacks that just have it, that have the skills, have the talent. This guy has all the skills and talent.
If you ask me on my scale of things I'm worried about, it's not at the top. Offensive line, top.
Is up there.
Okay?
Yeah.
Coaching staff's ability to construct a game plan and stay focused, second. Then maybe Julian Sain's down there.
Maybe down a little bit even lower. Like, I'm not trying to make that out as like a big red flag. It's just something that I have thought about because he did start the game off with another interception.
I understand.
You know? And he didn't do it again the rest of the game, but he started out in another big football game with a pick.
All right, 12 Big Ten schools are slated for bowl game action.
Oh, yay.
Indiana and Alabama in the Rose Bowl. I'm sorry, Indiana will face the winner of Alabama and Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. Cotton Bowl is Ohio State, neither Miami and Texas A&M. Valero Alamo Bowl, USC and TCU. That is at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, December 30th, 2025. I don't know why I gave you the year.
December 30th. Is that
2025?
Is that 9 o'clock Eastern?
Yeah, it's 9 Eastern.
Is that Central?
That's a 9 Eastern. Cheez-It Citrus Bowl has number 18 Michigan against number 13 Texas. That's New Year's Eve at 3, so that's the game right before Ohio State plays the Cotton Bowl. ReliaQuest Bowl, Iowa against Vanderbilt. That's in Tampa. I'd like to watch that one.
You would?
Yeah, Iowa and Vandy.
Okay. They're two great teams.
That's a noon game?
Yeah.
On that New Year's Eve?
All right.
Johnny.
All right, I'll get more excited for it. I mean, I thought Vanderbilt was doing this whole thing about being a pain in the ass for not getting in. And then Clark Lee just went completely about face and just did the whole, I'm not making any excuses. I'm not going to do any of that. You were just creating PowerPoints last week.
Well,
for why you
learned his lesson
to be in.
He sometimes
and now, not.
You have to see somebody else looking like a fool
that's
for you to realize that you looked like a fool.
That's not the SEC way. You need to dig in and fight.
Music City Bowl, Tennessee and Illinois. I don't care. That's in Nashville. Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium, Penn State and Clemson.
Oh, that's your actually
top five teams.
That's
right?
A neat matchup right there.
Who's the battle of the
less
fired coaches? Actually, no, Clemson didn't fire them.
Dabo's still there.
I'm sorry, that's just my fever dream that I hope comes true.
When's that game? When's that Pinstripe Bowl?
December 27th.
What year?
2025.
Okay.
In the Rate Bowl. Rate! Not guaranteed rate. Rate. New Mexico and Minnesota. December 26th, 2025.
It used to be guaranteed rate?
4:30 Eastern time. That's in Phoenix.
Why'd they drop the guaranteed? Because they can't do
it. They don't guarantee anymore.
I don't guarantee nothing. I guarantee that this will be the rate.
There's more. Hey, there's more. I forgot. The SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl, Nebraska and Utah. Yay. That's in Vegas because I just said it's the Las Vegas Bowl. Game Above Sports Bowl. Game Above Sports. What's that?
That's when you got a game and then you go above that game.
What's Game Above Sports, Teddy?
You know, that's the thing.
It's like Play It Again Sports.
It is?
You're making that up.
I am.
Anyway, it's Central Michigan and Northwestern, if you want to watch that. December 26th, 2025. And the L.A. Bowl, Boise State and Washington at SoFi, December 13th.
That's Saturday.
That's tomorrow. Right, that's,
imagine having a bowl game. It's Saturday.
That's like yesterday, December 13th. That's like now.
Not now, but...
No, it's pretty much soon.
Soon.
Hey, you wake up in a few days, it'll be now. It's basically here.
Wake up in the morning.
Can you believe it's December already?
Shut your holio.
What about you, Teddy?
It's hard to believe.
Can you believe Christmas is in a few weeks at the end of the year?
I know. New Year's Eve.
Football season just flew by. You get to week one, and then you basically just rip all the pages off the calendar.
It's crazy.
Already here to Christmas.
How'd that happen?
My mother-in-law said that to me yesterday.
Time warp.
Can you believe it's almost Christmas?
Yes, I can. You've had the tree up for 2 months.
I can believe it.
That's
how time works.
Right, it was trick or treat. Here's the tree.
You got October, you got November, and you got December.
That's right.
The biggest.
Michigan has a new member of their coaching staff, and he's a familiar name to Buckeye fans. Details next. Common Man and Timmy on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We've got slow traffic causing a 5-minute delay on westbound 270 on the north outer belt between 161 and Cleveland Avenue. And there's a couple minute holdup on westbound 670 from Grandview Avenue to I-70. This report is sponsored by IHOP. Introducing the IHOP Value Menu, where all your breakfast faves are just $6 each every day. Where else can you get a big filling sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP Value Menu, available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny, breezy, and cold on this Monday. Temperatures running in the upper 20s down to the mid-teens overnight with clear skies and light winds, increasing clouds and wind as we go through the day on Tuesday with highs in the upper 30s. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus is the official sportsbook of Common Man and Timmy. Weekdays at 3 p.m. The Fan.
Common Man's wife would rather bang her head up against a wall instead of listening to this show. Timmy's wife is banging
the milkman.
This is Man and Timmy.
I want to talk to you about my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Men, the holiday season is here, full of hustle, bustle, packed with activity. But when your energy is drained, you're not sleeping well, and your hibbity-dibbity drive is nowhere to be found, then maybe it's tough to feel festive. These could be signs of low testosterone. If that's what's going on, this is your season to take action. Get treated.
Oh, I felt it.
Don't
I felt the punch.
Feel sorry for yourself. There's actually things you can do. It's science. Early to mid-30s, guys start losing 2 to 3% of their testosterone production every year. and the herbals aren't going to help, little pills and crap like that. You need to go see my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. And they, if you take the test and they determine that it would be useful for you, put a little shot right in your ace. It's almost painless.
Oh, it's like...
just a small prick is involved, right, Teddy?
Just one prick.
Just a small little prick, not a giant prick like Ted likes. Small little prick. And then you will be turning cartwheels in no time.
Take it from us.
Mm-hmm.
We know.
Call them today, 800-900-9654, or visit tristatemenshealth.com.
You know, we also know, that Michigan has got themselves a pretty familiar coach.
I'm surprised to see this, but they have hired former Buckeye defensive coordinator Kerry Combs as special teams coordinator. He did not coach anywhere this past season.
He put out a tweet. He said, what a wonderful world we live in. Who knew in 1997 that one day I'd be able to coach in the Big House instead of being there as a fan? And I do remember Kerry Combs' thing was doing the most ridiculous hashtags because he was like straight up unk when he started fiddling around on Twitter and social media. He does the hashtag can't wait to get started, hashtag those who stay will be champions, hashtag hail to the victors, hashtag go blue. That's all well and good. Here he is with his son in Michigan gear on the sidelines. I don't know what the connection was because I took him to be an Ohio guy through and through.
He was a Cincinnati high school guy for a long time.
Yeah, Cincinnati high school coach that sort of worked his way up. He was at Lakota, then he was at Loveland, Colerain, and then he worked his way up to being the DB's coach for the Bearcats, so in town there. Then he was the associate head coach and special teams and DB's coach. Then he came here to Ohio State when Urban started things up in 2012, and that was a... he had a really good run as a positional coach here and really had a certain kind of energy about him. But then when he made that move to defensive coordinator, it really shut down real quick. And Ryan Day had to make a change. So
he's,
I'd imagine there's...
he's not a coordinator.
No, he's not a coordinator.
And that's, there's no knock there. There's just, you have to have a certain temperament to be a coordinator and be in charge of a complete unit like that.
Yeah.
And he's just... he's too... yippy, excitable? Is that the answer?
I think sometimes it could be, you could make a better case for him being a head coach than for being the defensive coordinator. And that might fit for some, but I think bread and butter is that special teams, it's that DB's
unit.
Depends
on what type of...
that's where he belongs.
...program we're talking about. Like, that stuff can play in high school where you're a head coach and you're like, you know, gee golly whiz, guys, come on! Let's go!
Was that, is that English? Huh?
Gee golly.
Gee golly, I whiz.
You know, some of the smaller colleges maybe, but I don't know.
Don't tell that to PJ Fleck. That's roll about.
Yeah, that's Minnesota, by
horseshoe,
the way.
Horseshoe, Broncos foot. I tell you what, man. Now, one time, Ohio State won a national championship being undefeated. What is that? What is that again? Pack life?
It's the whales jumping out of the ocean.
I'm saying, what's the commercial for?
I think it's Pack Life.
Get your investments.
Hey, Bengals lose in snowy Buffalo. Joe Burrow was terrific, except when he wasn't. There were two plays.
It sucked at the end.
He was not terrific.
And
but,
then Josh Allen, you know, incorrectly called him an all-time great at this moment where let's do more, you know.
Oh, you're not ready there?
Are you there?
Josh Allen's pretty good.
No. Josh Allen called Joe Burrow an all-time great.
Oh, he's great.
After the game was done.
No, I don't know if he's an all-time great.
No, he's not an all-time great yet. He's one of the greats in the game right now,
you know,
no doubt
about
it.
Like, but, he had many runs, but on that one 40-yard touchdown scamper.
There's no defense?
There's always the threat that he's going to run it.
But boy, it's like you can take a bobsled right up the field.
You don't want to give up like a 10, 15-yard chunk. But you know what's even worse than that? Not even touching him as he scampers for 40 yards.
I forget who the DB was. There was a receiver that was out running his route. I can't remember if that was Shakir or somebody else. But the DB that was there for Cincy didn't really seem to be fighting through that wide receiver block.
No, like, oh no.
You could just look back. The receiver's like, oh yeah, Josh
trying to get to him.
Trucking. Yeah, it's like, oh no. Yeah. Oh boy. He scored. Oh, how about somehow the Bengals actually made it through that mess. Buffalo scores to go up, what, 11 or 12? Cincy comes right back down the field. One-handed touchdown catch by T. Higgins.
Did you see that he's in concussion protocol again?
I know.
I hope we don't have a Chris Olave situation.
He took not even one, but a second hit to the head where he was like putting his hands
up
around his helmet.
I'm worried about him.
It is a worry. It is a concern. It might be time to shut him down for a minimum of a couple weeks because he was already out in the concussion protocol, so he's already been there, and he had that hit on the sideline earlier in the game where his head just smacked back. But they scored that one. And then they got Buffalo into a 3rd-and-15 situation with still close to 2 minutes. Now, they were going to run the clock, but you're still going to get about 1:20 left to do whatever you can. It's Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense. He already made 2 mistakes. Is he going to throw a 3rd interception? Probably not. What happens? A 17-yard run. 3rd-and-15, 17-yard run,
guys,
for Josh Allen.
He may
not much resistance.
Run it. He may run.
It's just the way that Cincinnati lets their fans down, it is just like no other. At least with the Browns right now, they're just dead. You're just playing to see Shedeur Sanders and see what he's got. And you know what? He did some things. He did some things yesterday, coaching-wise. But Cincinnati, you get Joe Burrow
healthy.
There's
no way in hell Kevin Stefanski keeps his job.
No.
There's no way.
But I could have understood when you got Joe back and then you had that game the way you had in Baltimore and beat them around. You're saying, well, this division sucks.
This division does suck.
If there is ever a year where the 9-8, which is what Cincy did last year, they circled the wagons, but it was too little too late. They were piddling around, started the season slow. It was too late. This time around, you could make a case that 9-8 safely gets you in and wins that division. But and they had Buffalo. They had them. They've played well there before. You've won in the playoffs there to go back to the AFC Championship. You had it. Joe, you have to hold Joe accountable for that first pick. You've got to hold
you
on. You have to secure the football.
He audibled into that look.
He shot putted the ball right to that guy and then missed the tackle when he was right there to just wrap up. Just slow him down so someone else can come and join
you. That was a running play.
Oh, my God.
He just audibled out of it and said, oh, I got something here. Yeah, you got something. By the way, also, Tyvus, none of that was fun yesterday in the snow. Yeah, that was just a bunch of garbage, right?
Oh, that was so fun.
That's not fun at all.
Was so
look,
fun.
I know if you're a Bengal fan, none of that was fun because your team is losing.
They were able to play fine. They were able to throw the ball. You're able to do some things offensively. It's not like it mucked the game up beyond control.
That's beautiful. I love that Buffalo's spending all this money on a new stadium, and it's going to be an outdoor stadium.
I love it, too. And you know what? They're taking care of the fans. They're closing off most of the seating.
That's fine.
Like a European soccer stadium mostly looks like it's open in the middle, and yeah, that's fine.
You know what they're doing in the new stadium too?
No, what?
Real grass.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm just saying they got the turf now.
Yeah, they do have the turf right now. So they're going back to real grass.
Back
to grass.
Almost like the Buckeyes should do.
Well, the NFL
won't.
The NFL typically sucks at grass, but we'll see with the story that came out last week about the standards changing here in the future to what is going to go into a grass field.
No, the NFL doesn't suck at grass. You got teams that have sucked, right?
Well, that's what I mean.
The Bears have had crappy grass for a long time, and it's because they have the park district that is in charge of the grounds there. And that's garbage. That shouldn't be allowed for an NFL stadium.
No.
And you have a situation like Pittsburgh that's had crappy grass, where they got the Pitt Panthers playing in there on Saturday.
Yeah.
Tearing everything up, and then, oh, go figure, your grass sucks.
And then I look at two different situations in Florida, both kind of rainy and drizzly. Jacksonville's looks awesome. Tampa's looks like crap. Do you see bits of the Saints,
yes,
Bucks?
Have standards.
Tampa's sucked. Jacksonville's looked awesome.
By the way, Jags.
Yeah. By the way, Colts, dead.
Yep.
That sucks. They had a good thing going.
They were probably dying before this Achilles injury.
Now,
just look at the way things were trending for them. But now, Timmy thinks a Buckeye legend is being disrespected. Details in 2 minutes. Common Man and Timmy on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns Backers.
We've got a 20-minute holdup due to an accident that's blocking the left lane on southbound 270 on the east outer belt north of US 33. It's going to move slow there from East Broad Street. And you're looking at a 5-minute holdup on westbound 161 from Kitzmiller Road to Hamilton Road. This report is sponsored by Ohio Laborers and Ohio Lesset. Ohio Laborers would like to congratulate Member of the Week Dakota Murphy, Laborers Local Number 134, Newcomerstown. Dakota is a 10-year journeyman working with Beaver. Build Ohio right, build it union. I'm Nicole for 97.1, The Fan Traffic.
Oh, hello! I was talking to my annoying friend, Duchess Kumquat. She was retelling a very dramatic story about how her and Lord Beaverqueef were stuck sleeping in a very hot room because their janky air conditioning unit took a crapola. They were so hot and sweaty, it took them out of the mood for getting hot and sweaty. Don't be like Kumquat and Beaverqueef. Call my friends at Care Heating and Cooling. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company Beaverqueef can trust.
Man and Timmy is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. Listen every weekday from 3 to 6. They're good, clean boys. The Fan.
Hey kids, if you don't buckle down in school and do something productive with your free time, this is your future.
You guys ready to play like big boys yet, huh? Maybe pick out your own outfits in the morning?
Listening to Common Man and Timmy.
Timmy!
The International Hockey Federation confirms the ice surfaces for the Milan Olympics will be shorter than a typical NHL building. And defends a decision, quote, "The differences in rink specifications are insignificant and should not impact the safety or quality of gameplay."
Everybody's playing on the same sheet.
By the way, it's not like when you look at it, it's not like, oh, 3 inches. No, it's feet we're talking about. So,
you know what I liken it to? You remember like Saturday morning shows that you watched when you were a kid? Did you ever watch the show Hang Time on NBC?
Dick Butkus
was the head coach. Reggie Theus was the head coach. That court, it was like two strides and you went coast to coast. What was the, they couldn't play in an actual gym?
There you go. That's the Milan Olympics.
That's the Milan ice rink. It's basically like a gym fit for a 3-on-3 tournament. They're playing 5-on-5 in that thing. What are we doing?
Hey, Teddy, what's a couple feet, right?
It shouldn't matter.
No.
Right?
Oh, baseball this year, put all the bases at 58 feet apart.
I mean, both teams have to do it, so.
Yeah, that's, I get it.
Both teams are going to kill themselves.
Both teams will just be flying into the boards unknowingly. There's supposed to be 5 more feet here. Oh, boom, I'm dead. What, Olympic ice is supposed to be bigger than NHL ice, right? Isn't it
a
bigger
international ice?
International.
Yeah,
so this is more wide open. Way smaller.
So if you play in like the Swedish league or something that, and then you go to this, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah.
Guys are going to die.
This should favor the U.S. team, I would think, right?
Why?
Because, you know, we're used to playing.
Just for the, because of the standard size.
It should favor all the NHL players. Yeah, I guess I should say. Yeah.
It just doesn't seem right. Or the
fact. Sounds like a nightmare to me, Teddy.
The fact that they're trying to finish the arena now.
I don't know who would have saw this coming. If you need something done on time and on budget, probably not the best thing to do to ask the Italians to do it.
They're too busy.
Hey, we take a nap now.
That's right. Make some lasagna.
Actually, before you take that nap, can you finish what you started?
Boy, the IOC, they're a really sound organization, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
They really seem to pick places.
I'll tell you, FIFA looks at them and says, hey, at least we're not that corrupt.
Right. I guess I am thinking of the World Cup. I thought I was thinking of the Olympics, but it was the World Cup that was in Brazil. And when, it's not just in the city. We get that. Like, you're going to have games spread throughout that country, maybe even hours away. There were some stadiums that they had built like out in the Amazon. And after it was done, there was nothing. They were just
the jungle reclaimed.
It was like the Silver Dome after 30 years of
It's like that show on the History Channel, Life After People.
It was like The Road with Viggo Mortensen. People are dying out here.
All right, you told me you were very upset because
I believe
that a Buckeye legend is getting disrespected.
I don't know if anybody noticed this from Saturday, but I want you guys to follow me through with this. So we didn't win the game. I understand how you might have flipped the channel. And if you did, you certainly saw it by now. Maybe one of the more viral post-game interviews you're ever going to see. Fernando Mendoza, holy smokes. Like, does this guy have some sauce to him? Does he get emotional? And is he positive and upbeat when his guys accomplish something? It just poured out of him in that interview.
He's a happy guy.
He's a happy guy.
He's had quite a career path, man. He goes from, was it Cal where he's starting?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cal to Indiana. Now he's winning the Big Ten.
It's really remarkable. I don't want to understate that. Like, with where this guy was, no one really knowing who this dude was. And now Indiana's 13-0. They're the one seed. This guy's going to win the Heisman. Think of like Indiana's quarterback just ripped the Heisman away from Ohio State's starting quarterback. That is the world that we live in. But on to my point. They're done with that. They go onto the stage, right? You're going to have Joel Klatt, whoever's doing TV. Usually it's that person's job to get down there, hold on to the microphone, and Kurt Cignetti's here. Kurt, tell us, you know, everything you did with this team this year, had him in their position. And he gives his thoughts. And then all the guys cram up together on that stage. And it's time for the trophy, the most valuable player trophy. And as has been a little bit of a custom, you know what? We've got the namesake of this trophy. There's two names. It's the Griffin whatever, Griffin Green, Griffin somebody MVP trophy. Archie Griffin, you might not have realized it because you can barely see him. He's there. Archie Griffin is there in the flesh, jam-packed onto that stage with all these giant dudes celebrating. Not any of them, I don't know, have any idea who the flip he is. And he's presenting the trophy to Fernando Mendoza, who I contend is a good, clean quarterback. A good, clean boy. And he doesn't make eye contact with him. There's no moment. There's no handshake. You see Archie Griffin's tiny head next to all those Hoosiers just swallowed up. You don't even see his face. It's just
you don't think they're showing Archie the proper respect.
I don't. I think it's kind of disgraceful.
Not enough is made that this man is the only person to ever win two Heisman trophies.
And it's not that I'm not blaming anybody, any one of the Indiana players. It's a hard situation to be in. There's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of celebrating going on. I would ask that we put Archie Griffin into a different spot where he can actually be recognized and he can actually get the wave and get the honor.
Where was it?
He just got a trophy. He just got a statue put up at the Rose Bowl. Like, that's what this guy is to college football. It was Connor Cook in the 2013 game that first rubbed me the wrong way, where Archie was out there and there was less going on, and I just thought it seemed rude. Like, you're just grabbing the trophy and then moving right on.
Just last year, one of the playoff games or something. I don't know, maybe it was the Rose Bowl where Archie went out for the coin toss with the captains.
Coin toss.
Right? And I forget who it was, Teddy. Help me. But none of the guys on the other team
acknowledged
or shook his hand.
Yes. They need to be instructed.
Archie's too nice.
They need to be instructed on who this man is, especially if it's Ohio State players. Look him in the eye.
I didn't just make that up, Teddy. That happened.
Maybe it did. What is it? Is he chopped liver? Like, what? He is the nicest man. You're right. We're going to put him in that position where it's, give the trophy. Get the hell out of here, Archie. Get out of here. Push you off the stage. There's only supposed to be 56 guys up here. There's 57. Bah! Push you down. Get the stage Nazi up there.
Also,
pulling him away.
I've never been this guy before. I mean, I've been watching this guy for a long time. He's never really bothered me. I've made excuses for him when sometimes his calls go over the top. But I really have, over the last few seasons, I've grown to hate Gus Johnson and his shtick.
Do you have any of the old, he wasn't there in that game. See if you can punch up Gus. I was messing around with him on our Saturday shift when Tyvus and I were setting the tone for our 11 hours of coverage.
You want Heisman Trophy?
I want the... You got the Indiana calls. Play the whole... You got the whole thing? You got the whole clip right there?
This is what is in here.
There should be the touchdown. The Penn State...
Touchdown!
End zone! End zone.
Mendoza! In trouble! End zone!
Touchdown!
Wow! Oh, my
What was the last thing he said? Heisman Trophy? Is that what he said?
No, I think you said unbelievable.
No, unbelievable. Amari, yes, but before
he said
that.
Amari Cooper, when his name's Omar Cooper. Play it again. Play the shorter. I think it was Amari Cooper.
Oh my. Mendoza in trouble. He's out.
Touchdown! Wow!
Omar Cooper. Unbelievable.
He
says, Omar Cooper! Omar Cooper!
That's what he's saying. Right?
Omar Cooper! Unbelievable!
Omar Cooper, unbelievable. Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Yeah. I can't make out the Omar Cooper.
No, nobody can.
We can.
That's the point.
Omar Cooper! Unbelievable!
Sounds like Joe Buck after he had the botched hair transplant.
I've decided I'm good with him. He is who he is.
No, I don't like him.
He is who he is.
I'm done with him now.
And we're going to overtime in Lexington.
It's too much.
That was 20 years ago.
It's too much.
When he did that.
I've had enough now. Maybe it was talking to the spirit of Keith Jackson last week, but...
The world famous Buckeyes.
Let's go down to the AAG.
AAG.
Jenny Taft.
The Attorney General.
Back page coming up, Colin Mann and Timmy on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
There's some slow traffic on westbound 270 on the north outer belt between 71 and 315. Just a couple minute delay there. And watch out for some hold up due to a crash that's on the right shoulder of eastbound 33 at 270 on the west outer belt. This report is sponsored by the Ohio Department of Transportation. What do we do to be safe and ready to go? Buckle up, phones down, take it slow. Let's work together to ensure everyone makes it home for the holidays. Brought to you by ODOT, the Ohio State Highway Patrol, and Ohio Traffic Safety Office. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
And Berm are back with a new daily podcast, the Ultimate OSU Football Insiders. You know, it's refreshing to have some smart people working here from time to time.
The Beat with Austin and Berm on the 10 TV Plus app.
Subscribe today.
Have a good day.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a Care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a Care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Reaction Monday, where our highly trained experts talk football.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Your home for reaction and overreaction. The Fan.
Buckeye Roundtable coming up at the top of the hour. Two big hours of Ohio State football conversation. Skip Mossick, Paul Keels, Jim Lachey, and some special guests as well. I think our guy Adam Rittenberg's on the show tonight.
Oh, you know what? I had something from Adam Rittenberg, if you would like that now. So we were talking about Mr. Bellavacqua, Pete Bellavacqua. It's Bavacqua. I get it. There's an old Seinfeld character that we love to say that.
Hold on. I got to get it now.
You got to get that.
Yes, Mr. Bellavacqua.
So he has been going on a rampage this last 24 hours. Some of it rightfully so. Notre Dame got jobbed, in my opinion. But at the same time, I'm also of the opinion, don't be at the end of the field, okay? We have a 12-team college playoff now. We don't have a four-team college playoff where you got that 15, that 16. I want to be very clear about that, too. That was a big move for me. Getting to 12, I would have been totally fine if we went to 8. You just needed to have a few more than 4 because there were a lot of years here. You have that Ole Miss type of team that's a one-loss team that's pretty good. You've got a Texas A&M type team that has one loss that should get their chance to fight for it. All the teams that really earned their way to fight for a national championship get to be in this thing. Notre Dame was right on the fringe. Yeah, they were 10 straight wins, playing hot. They had two top 25 wins since then. Let's just remember that. So, Mr. Bellavacqua.
Yes, Mr. Bellavacqua.
He had gone on and on about, we're not going to play in the bowl game now. We're going to get ready for next year. We're upset at the ACC. That's a big thing. You guys are being very, very mean to us and rude to us. And you shouldn't be saying all those things because we're partners. Well, Jim Phillips had a statement of his own. That is the commissioner of the ACC. He said, the University of Notre Dame is an incredibly valued member of the ACC, and there's tremendous respect and appreciation. With that said, when it comes to football, we have a responsibility to support and advocate for all 17 of our football-playing member institutions, and I stand behind the conference efforts to do just that leading up to the playoff committee selections on Sunday. At no time was it suggested by the ACC that Notre Dame was not a worthy candidate for inclusion. We're thrilled for Miami, while understanding and appreciating the disappointment of the Notre Dame players, coaches, and program. Sounds like a nice way to say go kick rocks.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Are you with us or are you not with us? You're just a partner.
Timmy, I got something for you, buddy.
What you got?
I got something. From commercial, instead of a first down from Julian saying, we've given the ball to Indiana. Anyway, back to you, Gus Johnson.
And back to whales splashing out of the ocean. Yeah. Get ready to hear a lot of that over the next month.
Actually,
a lot of this in tap dancing.
That was a Fox thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now the playoffs are on ESPN.
You don't think Pac Life's going to be advertising with them too? Oh, I bet they're going to be.
I'm just excited for all the good fluff pieces about Herbie's dog. That's what I'm excited for.
Oh, little Peter.
Oh, Peter.
Busy time for Peter.
Oh, he's Peter.
Yanked in a lot of different directions.
Peter, make a poo poo on the field. I love you, Peter.
Who gets that job?
The Back Page.
Sponsored by Care Heating and Cooling. When you need a company you can trust, call 1-800-COOLING.
Who does get that job? How do you get stuck? How do you get stuck with that job? No, it's not one of his kids.
It's one of his kids. Has to pick up the poop.
His kids are there with him everywhere he travels?
One of them.
His kid's a Michigan player.
No, the other one.
I don't think so. Did you see the game?
Go ahead, Tim. You can talk over it.
Did you see the game that Brandon Knoll had for the Buckeyes
as they beat
Northwestern?
It was a highlight of my weekend.
I was starting to wonder if this guy, transfer from Wright State, who came in with big numbers, was going to be able to do anything. And then he goes for 29 points and has 8 rebounds in the win against Northwestern. Big one against Illinois coming up tomorrow.
There's more. I mean, the song ended, but...
Oh.
I got another minute 5.
Oh, I thought the...
54-05.
So, we got the game against the Fighting Illini coming up. I'm glad to see Brandon Knoll unlock a new level to his game. He was talking to Adam Jardy about the performance. He said, when it came down to it, to be completely blunt and honest, just play better. He didn't have a single rebound against Pitt. He's had some of these games where Brandon Knoll's been an afterthought in the Buckeye basketball offense. And we've seen what he can do. So I'm hoping that now he's laced him up and he's coming to play. Christoph Tilly, he's going to need to be more physical. They've got a really good front line. Illinois is a really, really good team. Buckeye Hoops is going to have to earn it tomorrow night. They're up to number 13 now. They just beat Tennessee.
That'd be a huge,
huge
game
victory. Huge game. You got to defend home court.
That game is, of course, here on the Fan.
Isn't it done?
All right, see you later. Bye.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We've got a 10-minute delay due to an accident that's blocking the center lane on southbound 270 on the east outer belt at Main Street. It's stop and go from Hamilton Road. And watch out for another slowdown due to a crash on Tuttle Crossing Boulevard east of Wilcox Road. This report is sponsored by RRFoundationSpecialist.com. Protect your home with R&R Foundation Specialist. Family-owned, honest, and pressure-free. Get expert waterproofing, fair quotes, and smart advice that puts your home first. Visit RRFoundationSpecialist.com, your trusted local pros in foundation and waterproofing. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Hey, Common Man here. I know what you're thinking. This guy again? But we have some special bonus stuff for you. Sponsored, of course, by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust. I've said this on the air, too. I said to her, look, if you ever want to kill me, like you feel like divorce is not good enough, I have to kill this guy, just tell me. Tell me, and I'll help you do it so you get away with it. Or I'll do it myself. Because I don't, whatever I did, I guess it's my fault. Because it's so bad that you want to kill me. So I'm going to let you just kill me free of charge.
See, I wouldn't volunteer to be killed. I would then just say, well, I feel horrible about that. How about I just leave?
No, not good enough.
And I'm never in your life again. And why?
Must die.
Why?
Because then she's got to share the kids with you.
No,
I mean, you're not going to stay away from the kids.
I would miss them. Well, yeah, but then what? It's like, oh, good news. Now we didn't have to work that out because dad's dead. Like, I'm just saying, dad's left. Might be at least the kids could be older, and if they want to reconnect, that's on them. I'm just saying.
No, she wants your money too.
That, give her the money.
If you, well, you got to have something. What are you going to do? You're going to leave with nothing?
Start over. Start a new life.
What would you do if you started over?
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, you just walked into a new town. You're a mystery man. You don't know anybody. You don't have any money. You have no skills.
That's a solid question. Well, first of all, I'd probably just go right to the world's oldest profession and just say,
that's what I would be qualified to do.
Get some easy scratch.
I'd just be hanging out at the train station, going in the bathroom and tapping my foot under the stall.
I'm not saying it's easy, but I would definitely make some money quickly and then figure it out from
there.
Then
figure it out, yeah. After we bought a lot of mouthwash.
I'd get enough money to get a cell phone, get an OnlyFans account, start raking in that cash.
I see.
And then within a few months, I own the town. And then I would start banning dances.
Somebody thinks highly of themselves.
And then I would start banning dances and say, no more of that, until a couple of youngsters said, we're going to dance in this town. And then Footloose happens in the new little Western town that I've created,
Footloose.
I guess.
Footloose. All right,
yeah.
Got it.
Also,
right, we're out of time. Come on.
Well, the other question Man's Droopy Sack had was, do you think that your wife could evade authorities afterwards?
No, she'd be too stupid. That's why I have to help her.
Evade is a good word, by the way. I like the word evade.
She'd leave too many clues.
My wife would be able to evade.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
She's crafty.
She's very crafty. She knows how to look things up and find things out and, you know, figure out what the next move is. She's stalked about everybody we've ever met. So, yeah, I mean, she knows how to get things done.
A special thank you for consuming all the stupidity we can safely shove down your gullet. Come back for more podcasts. And again, the podcast is sponsored by our friends, because they pay us. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust. Stop listening now. The podcast is over. Turn it off. Go do something.